Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
This episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is brought to you by Fable The Journey, on sale now. Fable The Journey is a whole new way to experience the deep storyline, heart-pounding action, and picturesque world of Albion that fans have come to know and love about the Fable franchise. Built from the ground up for Kinect using the Unreal 3 engine. Check out the best-looking Fable ever at xbox.com/fable or by downloading the demo on Xbox Live today. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Shutterstock.com. Find over 20 million stock photos, vectors, illustrations, and video clips. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code ROOSTERTEETH9. That's Roosterteeth and the number 9.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
Hey.
It's a podcast.
It's Gus.
Gavin.
Jack.
I'm Bernie. The horse voice.
Horse Bernie.
Voice the horse.
Because we went to the University of Texas versus West Virginia. Oh. Is it West Virginia University? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's what WVU, so West Virginia University.
So
the Mountaineers.
We're not going to get right into sports right away, but let's put it this way. I went with Jack, Barb, and Allie Bakes, and it was 101,000 people in the stadium. It was awesome. The record crowd for that stadium.
Wow.
It was 93 points scored in total in that game, and the game was decided by 3 points.
It was a good game.
It was a
great game.
You must have screamed your head off because that game was Saturday and it's Tuesday night and you still can't
Your
talk.
Voice goes quicker than anyone
no,
I've ever
his
met.
Voice was okay after the game. I don't know what happened
it's
to
It's slowly over time. It like wears out. It's ever since I started playing Church and I yell as Church, I just did something to my voice where if I yell, I'll just yell my voice out every time. And that's, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I've seen you blow out your voice in one or two yells.
Yep, before. Yeah. I can do it. I can blow my voice out fast.
That happens to me at bars and stuff. Like, if I go out, because my voice is a lot deeper, so I have to speak really, really loud to be, like, heard over loud music and stuff, so I can throw my voice out super fast.
I never even thought of that as being an issue.
It sucks.
Yeah. So girls are easy to hear, are they?
Yes.
Is that why they always get served first at bars?
No. I guarantee that's not it. I guarantee it.
There's two other reasons.
There must be some other reason.
Yeah, I can think of a couple reasons.
That is his biggest pet peeve, Gus's biggest pet peeve.
What?
Is you ever watch Gus in a bar try to get a drink? He gets so fucking mad so fast.
I don't know why. I'm normally not like this, but when I'm at a bar, I feel like I should be served first.
Why? What's so good about you?
Like, I want my drink right now.
Here's what I think it is, Gus. I think when you're standing there at the bar with your money, that you think everyone is looking at you. And you're like, it's too social of a situation for you. Well, and you just get, like, panicky.
Well, no, what I don't understand, I think what it is for me is I hate being obstructed from completing my transaction. I'm there. I know what I want. I have money. Like, just complete the transaction.
You should try that. Next time you're in a bar, just start screaming, please complete my transaction.
Why can't I make it myself? Just let me reach over the bar. I'll grab the gin. I'll grab the vodka.
Do you have any tricks to try to get a hold of the bartender? Like,
I just shake money.
Yeah, I usually have like a 20 or something, like tapping on the bar or something. So they see, oh, that guy's got cash out ready to go.
The annoying thing is,
everyone does that, though. That doesn't work. I flash my tits.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd probably work.
I find that, over here, I have to because in loud places I have to yell. But something about my accent when I'm yelling makes me sound really pompous. I'm like,
something about your accent. I'm not sure what it
but
is.
But when it's like a full volume, I sound really English.
I wouldn't blame
like,
that on your accent.
No.
All right.
That can't be a bad thing in a bar, though.
What, English accent?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's okay.
It's a little bit like having a superpower.
It never lets me down. And then I go back to England, and I'm just like a regular bloke again.
I gave Gavin a ride home yesterday, and he nearly wet his pants. He was so happy because we passed a woman driving an Aston Martin on I-35.
Who did you? Dude, you guys did?
We saw an Aston Martin DB7, some hot bird driving the car. On the phone, it was everything.
He pulled out his phone to try to take a picture of her as we were passing her. We were passing her in a Prius.
What do you like? What do you like more there, the girl or the car?
I like the combination of both. I've never seen a DB7 driving around Austin. I've never seen that girl.
She exited on Riverside, so...
Can I tell you something?
What?
I find a girl a lot more attractive if she drives a really shitty car.
Why?
Because that's opportunity. I can help that situation. I can't do anything. A woman in an Aston Martin, there's nothing I can
add. How do you feel about girls driving enormous pickup trucks?
I'm okay with it.
That terrifies me.
Why?
Because, like, I don't know. It seems like this...
Here we go.
I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of people get in car accidents, and it's just something about, like... tiny people in big vehicles.
Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
No, just go ahead and say it. It's okay.
I somehow
dig myself into a hole every time I talk.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm going to stop talking right now.
Everyone knows the hole you're in. Everyone can see you. You're up to here right now. Just finish yourself off.
He thinks
he's out of the hole now. I totally covered that.
Climbed out. It was fine.
Hey, Lindsay, can we cut that?
Not quite as easy anymore.
Motherfucker.
That's one of those situations where when you start to make a faux pas or you say something stupid and the recovery or the cover-up is 10 times worse than what you're actually going to say.
When you're trying to
start backtracking. It's like,
you start drawing attention to it repeatedly when you're trying to backtrack. It's like you're just reinforcing what that thing is that you
said. It's like when someone farts in public and they try and hide it by making another noise, like with their mouth that sounds similar to a fart. Have you ever done that?
No.
Me neither.
How often do you hear farts in public? Where are you going?
I just, like, if I'm in a quiet place and I just let one go, I'll be like, and then I'll try and, like, make a similar noise with my shoe on the floor, or, like, just be like, make it out like it wasn't one.
Yeah, I've done before where, like, I'm in a chair and the chair makes a weird noise.
Yeah.
So I try to get the chair to do it again.
Yeah, and you have to prove that it wasn't you.
Right.
That's the other.
That I've done.
That's the other scenario.
I also do this weird thing, too. I used to, I don't know if I do it anymore, if I yawn really big, sometimes I would burp. Randomly as part of that.
Like the mouth opens and the diaphragm's like, oh, let's get everything out while we can.
Push it on out.
Two birds, one stone.
It's very efficient. It's like if Monty was running my digestive tract. All right, should we take a question right away?
Oh, really?
That's what you want to do? That's terrifying.
Somebody wanted to know if you had any weird dreams with Alpha Brain. But
I had, I've continued to have them.
You know, I had a weird dream, like, it was a mixture of Alpha Brain and Dexter. Because I've been watching the new season of Dexter, and I had a weird dream that there was, like, I was in my kitchen, and there was blood on the floor, and I was trying to clean it. But it wasn't scary. It was just like, I was just cleaning the blood off my floor.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do.
Like, it's routine, you know, boring.
Did you ever find out what the blood was from?
No. It was just like, there was just smears of blood, and I was like, all right, that's kind of weird. But I was fine with it, so maybe in my dream I became...
Are you afraid of blood? Like, do you get queasy at the sight of blood in real life?
I kind of do, actually. Like, but real blood. Real blood, yeah. My dream, I was okay.
It's quantity for me. Like, if someone's cut themselves and it's like spewing down their arm, I'm okay with it. If I see a puddle of blood, like where you can see like the depth of the blood, that's really disturbing. It's like
a volume of blood.
How much
creepy.
Is that guy alive?
I'm the reverse of that. Like a volume to me almost seems fake. Whereas, like, I remember one time in high school, my teacher had like one of those like those finger pricking things for
diabetes?
Like a diabetes test. And he just poked his finger in, like, a little drop of blood. And something about, like, that needle going through his skin and the blood coming out. Like, I turned, like, sheet white and had to leave the room.
What about you? Are you, like, queasy with blood?
Not really. That reminds me of a story, though. A guy I used to know, the guy we used to work for, he did a thing where he poked all of his daughter had to get a blood test. And to show her that it was no big deal, he poked every single finger that he had with a needle, like one of the things, and like, all 10 fingers.
Why?
Just to show her it was no big deal because she was very young. And but, like, then later he's like, you don't realize how sore that makes your fingertips. He's like, Fuck.
I used to sit next to a guy who...
That's a great dad moment, though.
Yeah.
Pricking all 10 fingers.
I used to sit next to a guy at school who, coincidentally, is the guy that introduced me to Red versus Blue. You've actually met this guy. He used to
pass...
He used to pass out...
I've met him, too. I'm you sitting met right here.
What's up, dude? You've met him as well.
I've never met him.
He used to pass out everything. Like, we once watched... Maybe it's in science. We watched some sort of surgery. And you would just, like, see him doing this. It's because his name was Fairy and my last name is Free. That's why we sat together. But once we watched...
Okay, clearly.
We watched a woman give birth for some sort of sexual education video thing.
Yeah.
And I was, like, looking over at him, and he was just, like, going, like, ugh. And then I just looked back at the TV, and in my peripheral vision, I just saw him go, and, like, pass out and smack his face on the desk. He just used to pass out at the sight of blood.
I love when people pass out.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from the sight of blood or anything like that. It's funny to me when people pass out.
I didn't realize that you actually, your body, it's one of those automatic body things. Is that you? Your body tries to get you horizontal. Like, you'll pass out and lie flat on the ground to try and get blood back to your head. Huh. And if someone tries to sit you up, even if you're unconscious, your body will try and be back down, like, horizontal.
That's not your body. That's gravity.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not gravity.
So you think, like, if your muscles aren't working...
You will literally fight the person who's holding you up to get horizontal.
You're unconscious, but you're fighting people?
Or just, like, semi-conscious. It's like a...
The body is doing it. It's like an automatic reaction.
No, it's
the body.
Like, if your muscles aren't creating tension or aren't holding you up, of course you're going to lie flat.
But he's saying they do. They, like, try to, like, flatten out.
No, but I'm saying that's stupid. Like,
if someone is sat you up on a chair with, like, your head on a table, your body will make you lie on the ground.
He's losing me now, too. Let me give you another scenario. If you passed out on a wedge like this, and you went, you passed out over it, would your body straighten out on the wedge?
Yeah, you'd become rigid and balanced like this.
Your little kids would come and get an iron into you?
They would use you as amusement.
Yeah, so, I don't believe it.
One of my favorite things in the world is videos where people are at a wedding, and the people in the wedding party always pass out. That's just funny to me.
I have never understood why people at weddings pass out.
I was in a wedding where I was one of 12 groomsmen, and it was in this gigantic Dallas church, and we had to walk all the way down this marble aisle and stand on marble steps, and somehow marble is harder than concrete. And we stood there through like an hour ceremony standing there, and we started going like this. I just started going like this. And I could feel myself breathing, like...
You lock your knees, that makes you pass out, isn't it?
Yeah, that happened to me. Like, my sister and my brother-in-law got married. There was like an hour and a half ceremony, and they're like, make sure to bend your knees. Don't lock your knees, because if you do, blood will stop going, and you can pass out.
But wasn't that lock the blood in your legs?
Yeah, well, what is that? If you lock your knees,
you're constricting blood to the brain.
I've locked my knees 1,000 times.
I think for an extended period of time. You just talked about standing for...
I'm going to do it right now for the rest of the podcast.
I think you have to stand.
Oh.
You should stand the rest of the podcast.
I used to see people when I was in high school, like sometimes we'd have assemblies out in the football field and the band would be out there and you'd see them standing and then sure enough, you'd be like, oh, look, tuba player just lost it.
No, there's nothing funny when a trombone player goes down because it's like a lot of metal on the back of their face.
Oh. Or do they make the sound
like, whoa. They go backwards, they do that. A buddy of ours, Jason, who plays Tucker in Red versus Blue.
He recently got married. Yeah.
And it was a great ceremony. It was a lot of fun. Did you guys notice anything weird about the ceremony?
It was really short.
It was.
That was good.
Do you remember?
Something weird?
Yeah.
No?
When the bride came in, everyone stood up, and they never told us to sit back down.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
And so the audience had to stand up the whole ceremony.
The whole ceremony?
Yeah. It wasn't very long, but...
Luckily, it was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, still.
That was a good wedding.
Yeah.
That was like, come on in. Do you want to get married? Yeah, okay, we're done. Everyone go eat and drink. That's it.
Nice.
That was a fun time.
I hate going to weddings that are like super long and protracted, and you just like if you stand.
They
there
light
for
the
an
candles
hour and,
hour and,
a half. And like, I don't want. I just want to get drunk.
I don't want to get married just because of what a wedding involves, and it looks like it's a lot of effort.
You don't want to get married because of what a wedding involves or what a marriage involves.
The wedding bit mainly.
Okay,
it's easy to be like I could just be married to someone right now, I wouldn't even notice.
You would forego lifelong bliss. For a wedding because you don't want to go to a party. Or plan a party.
I just don't want to arrange it.
You know, you can get married without having a wedding, right?
You will not have anything to do with arranging it, ever.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm all for it, then.
No, you can't get married without having a wedding.
How?
Just go to the court.
I'll marry you right now.
Yeah.
I can legally marry you to someone
you
right
marry?
Now.
Where's Joe the cat?
What about Jack?
It has to be a woman.
No, that wouldn't be in Massachusetts.
Oh, you can't have gay marriage?
No, not in Texas. Sorry.
Is it illegal or is it just not legal?
That's not recognized.
It's not recognized.
Can you get married outside?
For the marriage certificate.
Yeah.
Can you get married out?
Take it back. I couldn't do it because you don't have a marriage certificate.
Okay.
way to go. Break my
but
heart.
If you go apply for one and in like 2 days.
I wonder
I'll be able to do it.
If he could. Like, could a foreigner, because Gavin's here on a visa, could he just walk down and get a marriage certificate, or does he have to go through a special process to get one?
I think they can. He can just go get one, and I think then after the fact it has to be, like, validated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, like E and Kitty Chicks, like, they just went through that process, right? Like, they've been dating for years, and she still had to go through all the process after they got married to get her green card, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, because they were tweeting about it, because Eric...
Yeah, I think they were tweeting, and they just recently resolved that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the last
so she finally got it, so...
He was saying that they, in their house, they celebrate both Canadian Thanksgiving, which just happened.
Great Thanksgiving.
And then they also celebrate regular people's Thanksgiving, yeah. Like the regular time.
Well, that's convenient of them.
Yeah. He says there's more football in Turkey in fact.
Yeah, so. I'd like to have 2 Thanksgivings. It's not, that doesn't sound so bad after all.
Yeah.
If only they were both real Thanksgivings.
What are you giving thanks for in Thanksgiving?
Giving thanks for living in America, baby.
Yeah, killing all the Indians.
How's that different to Independence Day?
Independence Day, you're celebrating the independence from your country.
Yeah, but it's...
I don't think we're thanking living in America. No. I don't think it has anything to do with America.
No, I think it's supposed to be like a harvest. You're thanking for a bountiful harvest.
Yeah, thanking for the bounty.
Top.
Is that why they have it? Is that why they have it earlier in Canada? Because their harvest time is earlier than ours.
I think I looked it up the other day. I think I was quizzing Barbara.
Barbara was pissed
about the timing of Canadian Thanksgiving and Canadian Independence Day, because Canada Day is like 3 days before the 4th of July. It's July 1st.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you stealing all of our shit? And then we got no
attention. Have it in June.
I started asking, why is it Canada even called Canada? What does that mean?
It's some sort of Iroquois word.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an Iroquois. She laughed at me when I said Iroquois. It's an Iroquois word that I believe meant friendship.
Really?
Kanata. Kanata. And it got converted into Canada, the country, which sits atop America.
Well, Joe is coming over to say hello.
Oh, there's Joe the cat. Hey, making his appearance. Gus, it's your favorite guest.
Joe the cat pissed on equipment this week.
Oh, no, he's got his butt to the camera, too. There you go.
He's put that down. There you go.
She was mad. We had a discussion earlier because she was mad that Canada Day has been celebrated, or excuse me, Thanksgiving in Canada has been celebrated 40 years longer than Thanksgiving in America. Whatever that means.
Is that true?
That's what she said.
Was she upset by that?
That's the first time I've ever said that in context.
That's what she said.
No, it's the first time you've ever said it correctly. Like right. Properly in context. So did you see that Borderlands 2 did something weird and they snuck out their DLC a week early today?
Yeah, that was awesome. I rolled a Necromancer today. And got up to, like, level 10.
Oh, is that what I was looking at? With that,
supposed to be
the robot.
16th, and, like, in the middle of the night, they tweeted, oh, surprise, it's coming out today instead.
That's awesome.
I can't think of the last time
Did
I saw something like that happen.
Put it out by accident and then...
No.
Yeah, that's a good call, Gavin. Turn it into a PR event, right?
No, there's been some good DLC. Like, the Origin of Pain DLC came out for Trials Evolution.
Oh, right.
And that is awesome. That's a bunch of new stuff, a bunch of cool stuff.
They had a good trailer for that.
What do you think, though, is the acceptable window between release and paid DLC?
Depends on what kind of DLC you're talking about.
Like, what was the cost of this DLC?
Actually, the Trials one was really reasonable. It was 400 points. And it was like an additional 20 maps or so, I think.
It's a gig download.
Yeah, it was a gig download for 400 points.
It's
which
a whole new
really
island.
Really cheap. I mean, that's really awesome.
But, like, if there's, like, let me just throw a scenario out there. Okay. If there's a DLC for, like, an extra kind of character or race on a game.
Okay.
And it's like a 100K download, and it's available day one.
No, a 100K download, that's a different story, because that means it's a disc-based
DLC. It's on
the
disc, right. That's why I say
that. Like, you see fighting games do that, and that's kind of upsetting. But they make the excuse that, like, well, everyone has to have the thing downloaded, even if they don't pay for it.
Yeah.
So I kind of get that, but I don't know. Like, the Necromancer, if you're not a member of the VIP club or whatever, it was $10 to download to get that character.
Okay.
And that adds a whole new, it's you know, the fifth kind of personality.
I think with me, I think anything after 2 weeks is fine. Like, I play through the game, I play through the campaign, and then I want something new. Like, I'm wrapping up my second playthrough on Borderlands right now.
Wow.
And once I'm done with this playthrough, like, so this DLC is, like, perfectly timed.
Nice.
For once I'm done with this, they'll play again with the new.
So you get a roll of Necromancer now?
I think so.
Nice. What have you beaten it through with?
Siren, both times. Like, I did Siren once, I'm doing it again on True Vault Hunter mode.
Okay. What is that, just like a hard mode, I guess?
Yeah, it's like the harder mode.
You played it all, Borderlands?
I played it a bit. Played it for the Let's Plays.
I played the hell out of the first one, and then I played the second one a little bit, but it felt very, very similar to the first one to me.
Yeah, I never played the first one.
I feel like it's a lot more fleshed out. Like, they definitely spent a lot more time on the writing and creating the world.
It's probably the wittiest game I've ever played.
Easily.
And I love the names of stuff. Like, I love the fact that you can shoot a Mongolet.
there's a lot of funny moments. Like, one of my favorite moments is there's one character called a sarcastic slab. It's like after you kill all of these guys, there's this character who just comes out and slow claps very sarcastically for you and walks around the map.
That's it.
What, do you kill him or anything, or do you just follow you around?
There's another quest where it's some guy whose name is like Shooty McFace, and he gives you a quest to shoot him in the face. You just shoot him, and that's the whole thing.
The Top Gun one was pretty awesome, where you have to go, you have to fight the guys who all have their shirts off playing volleyball.
Too close for missiles?
Yeah, that's what.
Too close for missiles.
You have to light their volleyball nets on fire because they're doing their celebratory volleyball game.
I thought the writing in the first Borderlands was great. I thought it had a great personality.
Jack showed me a sign that as you walk up to it, it boots on, it powers on, and for a split second it says, "I hate you," and then it says, "Welcome."
Yeah. No, it's right at the very beginning of the game, like right when you start up. Like when Claptrap pulls you out of the snow, if you're walking forward, there's a welcome sign. And if you watch it as it's booting up, it literally says, "I hate you." And then it flashes over to welcome real fast.
You know, I got to say, though, there is one particular place that Borderlands 2 is inferior to the first Borderlands.
What's that?
And that is in the opening sequence. The opening sequence of the first Borderlands with the Cage the Elephant song.
Oh, you're talking about the animated sequence.
The opening sequence. Okay. Yeah, the opening.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, that song kind of took off based on that game, at least in my opinion.
Do you think so?
I thought the song was already big before the game
was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's No Rest for the Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it was big or I don't know if it really took off even.
I remember hearing that song with a lot of the commercials for Borderlands 1.
Definitely associate that song with that game for sure.
Yeah, so.
It kind of became iconic for Borderlands.
But now Borderlands 2 starts with a CeeLo Green song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a little bit more chill.
I love the misdirection, though. They kind of make it seem like the first game intro.
Yeah.
And then, like, the train hits.
Yeah.
It's, like, totally different.
It's cool.
I think the voice actor who played Handsome Jack is really good in that.
Yeah.
Like, I love any time that Handsome Jack had to talk to you or cuts in, I was like, this is going to be awesome. Like, I would stop whatever I was doing just to listen.
There's a bit with the double rainbow where, like, you can actually – there's an achievement. We did a guide for it. But, like, you know, we hear the double rainbow thing, like, oh, my God, all the way. And you hear people, you know, it sounds terrible when people kind of replicate that. But the guy who did this one actually did a really good job of it.
Maybe
it's actually funny. No, it's Handsome Jack.
Oh,
but, like, his version of it is actually funny. It's not, like, not
they have good voice actors.
Yeah.
It's Gearbox, right?
Yeah. It's really tall.
Hooray, Dallas.
Like, I've talked to the guy who does Claptrap.
Oh, really?
He's a guy who works at Gearbox.
Oh, really?
He's pretty high up, yeah. So it's like, and he'll bust out the old classic.
That's like the guy who does Guilty Spark. He's just a guy who works at 343 now, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, he's a voice actor.
Is he a voice actor?
He's a voice actor.
That's one of the coolest voices.
I think
voices.
You're thinking about the guy who does the grunts in Halo.
That's what I'm thinking about.
That's Joe Staten. Yeah. He works at Bungie.
That's right.
And I guess they must have somebody new doing it at 343 now.
Okay.
Well, it was always two guys. Well, I think apart from Halo 1, it was two guys doing the grunts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of Halo 2 with him back in the day on Xbox Live, and he would always just talk as a grunt.
Really?
on Xbox Live.
I think I played with him a few times.
Well, I mean, game was just talking as Simmons, so I mean.
I guess so. But my voice is a lot closer to Simmons than normal human voices.
I always like the fact that the elites, when they say, that was Sergeant Johnson saying, go, 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 but played in reverse and deepened.
I had no idea.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. I didn't believe it. I had to take it myself and reverse it and play it with a.
Wow. I'll look that up right
it's
now.
It's just him going, go, go, go.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, dude, there's a whole bunch of new games coming out. Like, Dishonored came out today.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
So, yeah.
Dude, I saw Michael playing it. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's what's funny is I've inadvertently, you know, we work a lot, you know, on the games and in the gaming industry. I've inadvertently somehow managed to avoid every trailer and screenshot for that game. And now it's out. So I'm like, oh, everyone's saying good things about it.
That was the game that they released a trailer for it a while back. Or, I mean, maybe a few months ago. I was like, where the hell did this thing come from? And, like, it looked really cool and then kind of dropped off the radar. Now it's out.
The cool thing is about being in a room who's playing a video game that you haven't played is that you just glance over and see things and you form your opinion that way. I glanced over. I saw Michael slice a dude's head off, pick up the head, and throw it into, like, an electric fence. And it just goes, I was like, this game looks great. I want to play it. And then he threw the body in as well.
I love that he threw the body. That wasn't enough.
Yeah.
That was, like, when I...
It's really gruesome.
Yeah, but what was it? I was one of the first RT Lifes when I was talking to you about returning dead bodies. What were you talking about?
What?
Yeah, we talked about, like, it's part of warfare that you return dead bodies. Oh, it's for Kung Shu.
Kung Shu, and he said
that. You weren't allowed to keep shoes if we flicked your shoe at each other, because that's like in the war, you have to return dead bodies to your enemies. And I was right. And Michael's back, I goes, no, you don't. And I panned over him, he goes, no, you just cut that shit up, and you stick the heads on spikes. You're like, stay the fuck out.
And I turn around, I'm
never going to war with Michael, ever.
I was just like, Jesus. Stay down the camera.
Now, is that a Northeast thing?
Like, I don't know, man.
Is it a Jersey thing? They just don't mess with people?
He fights to win.
Go to war.
I do like the idea of shoes on spikes, though. It's like a
putting shoes
on
spikes,
it's like a victory scoreboard.
Like outside situation. Of the Achievement Robins, just spikes with like, you know, Keds on them.
I just like that he has spikes. What's your favorite Archie Live video?
I'm fond of Kung Shu.
The one where I followed you for like 20 minutes in yeah. the pack?
Just your noises.
I can't do it because my voice today. I've lost my ninja skills.
All right, try.
Can't do it.
I also like the one where I flew a remote control helicopter and landed it perfectly on Michael's head.
That was brilliant.
I just cut it off.
Yeah.
That was great.
What other games came out today? Like I know Fable came out. They're one of our sponsors this week. And there was another one.
XCOM?
As well.
Yeah, XCOM Enemy Unknown came out. That's a 2K game.
So I was really confused by XCOM.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I guess there's that other XCOM game in development.
Yeah.
I thought this was that. I saw the trailer for it. I was like, what's going on? This isn't at all like I thought it was going to be.
It's funny because there's two XCOM games in development. One was like, initially I think it was a first-person shooter. I think now it's a third-person shooter that Jeff and I saw at E3 like 2.5 years ago. And like they've slowly, like, then like last E3 they showed some more of it, and it's like they've been working on it, kind of tweaking it and refining it. I think that was supposed to come out before this one's supposed to come out. This is like a turn-based kind of game.
Oh, it's turn-based?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Well, the original XCOM was turn-based.
I have no idea what's going on. There's two XCOMs.
Yeah.
Okay.
XCOM, you remember the original XCOM, yeah. That was like a turn-based strategy game from like the early 90s.
Well, that's what this one that just came out is.
Like you're fighting aliens.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I'm definitely picking that up then.
So...
Yeah. You like turn-based?
I love turn-based. Like I love turn-based strategy games, but I feel like no one makes turn-based strategy anymore. There was a great turn-based strategy game that came out in, I want to say, 2001 called Silent Storm.
No idea.
Which was fucking awesome. It's like the last great turn-based game I can remember that came out.
There was a turn-based game that came out for the Xbox. It was like based on gladiators, where you got like different kinds of gladiators. You got like the ranged guys and like the big brutes. And it was the whole idea where you could move people around in like a little squares and
what
stuff.
What was that on?
Like Gladius or something? I think it was on Xbox or PS2.
I know that sounds like Tactics Ogre, which was Game Boy Advance game.
I think it was called Gladius.
Man,
we have the internet, right?
I will say this. Yeah, look it up. The turn-based strategy genre, that particular set of games, for whatever reason, to me, is plagued by the fact that they put one out that's great, and then they put out a sequel that sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. Like, did you ever play Masters of Orion?
No, I know.
That was a great one where you build ships. It sounded like you're faster than light that you were talking about. And that was turn-based. And then they put out a sequel that was terrible. And then there was a Heroes of Might and Magic. Did you ever play that?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. But there was only one of them that I liked. I didn't like any of the other ones.
Yeah, they made a bunch of those games, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
And Civilization. Every time they put out a new Civilization, it feels like they broke it. But then you got to like wait. It's like you kind of like finally figure it out.
Yeah. Like a month ago, I went back and I started playing Civ 5 again.
I saw you doing that.
Oh my god! I got to the point where I was hunched over for so many hours on my computer that my back got sore. Like I couldn't stand up straight for like 3 days because I went on a huge Civ 5 binge.
So you played on a PC
or
on a Mac, I guess.
Yeah.
You gotta take regular breaks, Gus.
No. Those other countries aren't going to defeat themselves.
All right. So I found the game. It's called Gladius. I was close. I think I said that right.
Yeah, you said Gladius this week.
And let me see if there's a trailer for it. But yeah, the game, it was a turn-based gladiator game. And it was really, really cool.
2003, is that what that says?
2003.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter just asked me, have I ever played Age of Empires?
Yes, we played Age of Empires.
So, but anyway, yeah, this game, it was one of those ones, I think I saw it on, like, either G4 or what was Tech TV at the time.
It's a LucasArts game.
And the game was just fun as hell, dude. Like, I'd never really gotten into a game like that before, but for some reason, I just really, really dug the hell out of this one.
Real quick, what's the best LucasArts game ever made?
Probably the second...
So you want to fight the
Not the X-Wing game. What was it?
X-Wing versus
TIE Fighter. What was the Jedi Fighter one, where you could be a...
X-Wing.
Not X-Wing.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yeah?
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was the sequel to X-Wing.
Okay, that or like one of the Battlefronts.
Wrong. Maniac Man.
Nope.
Look at this. Oh, look at that awesome graphics right there.
I don't know why you're showing this.
I don't know why you are either.
this is nothing what the actual gameplay looks like, but...
That looks like Final Fantasy. That immediately turns me
off. You can see like the squares. Like,
attack for maximum damage.
Hit 2 points.
You know how we've talked about in the past, get rid of this.
All right.
Well, the other game I want to talk about real fast is that comes out this week is Fable the Journey.
Right.
Yes. Which I saw you guys working on some achievements.
Yeah, Jeff started playing it, man. He's he's really getting into it, I think. Like, Jeff's been a huge fan of the Fable game, so I think he was pretty excited to get into this one.
Yeah, he got started playing Fable 2. We would play Fable 2 a lot, and then... Fable 3, he played it, but I never got a chance to play Fable 3. I always fall behind on playing games. Yeah.
So. I played it. I'm a big Fable fan, too. I don't know if you know that.
Sorry,
I
didn't know that. We're not
just
taking anything
people
away
people don't
from
acknowledge
you.
Me.
No,
I'm right
getting
here.
So sensitive.
I know. It's funny, because the same E3 that Jeff and I was talking about earlier, where Jeff and I went and saw the XCOM stuff, we went to a Microsoft party, and they had Fable 3 there, and he sat there for like 2 hours playing Fable 3. I just went crazy on it. And like the girl working for Lionhead was like, maybe some other people want to play. He's like, back off! And then kept going and playing his game. But.
Well, the game looks great. I've been watching Jeff play it today.
Yeah, I've had the best entertainment in my peripheral vision, because Jeff's sat slightly far away from his desk, so the Kinect can see his whole body. And I just see Jeff in the corner of my eye just doing this. He's like riding a horse, and he's like, yeah. It's really entertaining.
No, that's the cool thing, because this game, it's not a full-body Kinect game. You can actually sit down to play it.
Yeah.
So
why was he sat so far back?
I don't know.
You have to have a minimum distance between you and the Kinect.
I guess.
And
he usually plays like this close to his
screen. I'm sure he set up the Kinect wrong, too. Well, because Michael's playing Oblivion. Oblivion with Kinect, right?
Or Skyrim.
Skyrim, excuse me, not Oblivion.
That was just voice commands, though.
Yeah, those voice commands.
Oh, right. I forgot you could do that.
Yeah, that's always fun to yell Unrelenting Force wherever he's just walking through a city.
Yeah, that's a real design. It accepts anyone's voice in the room. Unrelenting Force, quick save. Damn it.
Quick save. You look asshole.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. But no, the game looks cool, and
some of the casting stuff was cool.
Yeah. I mean, I overheard some of it, like, as he was playing, and I was like, wow, that's pretty sweet. So.
Yeah, you, like, move your hands to, like, cast the different spells and grab on, like, interact with the environment.
Yeah.
So I picked it up today. Looking forward to trying it out tonight.
Nice. Yeah, I was busy playing Borderlands 2, the Mechromancer, and I would look over and see him, you know, riding his horse or throwing spells and stuff. And it's like, okay, cool. So
that's cool.
I think we're going to put out some videos for it coming up soon. So
awesome.
So questions here on Twitter. Gus, are we ever going to be in a Let's Play? We keep talking about it. Are we going to do a Let's Play?
You had an interesting idea for one.
I have, yes, a very different kind of one. So
we should do that.
It's a non-video game related Let's Play. But let's
play a game.
I want to play a game.
Can we play Jenga or something?
Well, no, you're not invited.
We could do it.
Come on, those guys.
You got so
Jesus
sensitive.
Christ.
We could do a 20-hour Let's Play in Civilization. How about that?
Jesus. In Civilization, the board game.
Good Lord.
Let's take it old school. Wow. You ever play Civilization, the board game?
I didn't, but it sounds like Axis and Allies, which is
It's way worse than Axis
is
and
it
Allies.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that stuff gets brutal, man.
Bernie, what was that Let's Play you did in that really old game where you, like, pick squares? You
Utopia. Have, like,
yeah, that Jeff was really interesting to
what
watch.
What do we call it? Let's Play. We called it Game Time. Yeah. We played Utopia together. It was a television game.
Yeah.
It was like the predecessor to Civilization.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining, that video.
Well, it was like 40 minutes. We didn't edit that at all. We just posted it. We just recorded and posted it.
I always
like a 320 by 40 or like a 320 by 160.
No, it was on Xbox. There's an Xbox downloadable game called, I think, Intellivision Lives, and you can download. We did it in Game Room.
It was Game Room, yeah.
Game Room, yeah. You know, Game Room, you have to spend a lot of time in Game Room.
Sorry, your voice.
My voice
is awesome
terrible right now. I sound like a kid from the arcade days.
It's like you're forcing your voice, and your face suggests you're really angry, but you're not. You're just talking about a video game.
So Game Room on the Xbox was actually pretty cool if you got into it, but it just took so long to figure it out. Mm-hmm. It was like that interface, if it had just like been a little bit better, I think Game Room would have
been I had a lot of trouble with that interface. I really tried to sit down and play with it for a while. It took me a while to figure out how to interact with the space.
Well, I think the fact that you had to buy a cabinet and then build your arcade and put the arcade in your in your arcade room and then find it to play it. It was just kind of too much.
Yeah.
But once you played it, it was like all these different levels. Like, something that became really addictive was taking some of those old school arcade games where there's no finish. You just play as long as you can and get the high score.
Kill screen.
What I didn't realize was that those games were super short. Like, when you would play Scramble, if you can play Scramble for 5 minutes on one quarter, that takes you a really, really, really long time. And, like, you would get a bronze medal, a silver medal, the gold medal, and then they get points associated with that, and then achievements based on your total point score with, you know, how long you could play the game, how high a score you could get. And then there was a third category that I forget now. It was scores, something like that. Anyway, but you would, like, I would get really addicted to, like, how long can I play this game? And it's like, you'd be sitting there with, like, a little watch, and you'd be like, oh, shit. like Food Fight and stuff like that.
Well, you and I were playing, we played Frogger together quite a bit, because there was an achievement to get, like, 50,000 as a co-op group. And so I think we recorded like a Let's Play or a Game Time at that point.
But it was just an achievement video.
Yeah, so it was basically us playing, and I think it's get 50,000 points between the two players, and I died. And that's really fucking tough. And I died, and Bernie managed to click over 50K. he got the achievement, and I didn't.
Oh. Yeah, it's awful. It took us like two weeks to.
It was a pain.
Well, you died.
But still, my points were a part of that total.
I felt so bad for him. I said, Jack, don't worry. I will come back and get this with you again.
That was over a year ago, probably.
I was showing Gavin an old Achievement Hunter video I made, but I never posted because I felt a little weird about it.
It was really funny.
Back before Fable, when Fable 2 had come out, we were first starting Achievement Hunter, I had made this old video where I found this one prostitute in Fable 2 who liked to get slapped. So anytime I would slap her, she would get the kissy face above her head. Then I found this other prostitute who liked to watch me slap women, and she would get the hearts above her head. So I would hire them both and take them back to my house, and I'd slap them, and they would both like just love me like crazy. And then eventually it would attract a crowd of people who would come into my house because I had such a high hero rating, and they would all watch me slapping this one prostitute.
Yeah, it basically like it was like a semicircle of people. Gus is just batting this woman, and everyone's like, yeah.
You have the video still?
I still have the video.
Oh, yeah. That's creepy.
I never did a voiceover for it because I thought, that's really disturbing.
You don't even
and
need
I don't
to.
Want to put a video out of me like advocating for beating women, but here we are.
We're
talking about it anyway.
Just cut that, Lindsay. We'll get that.
We'll include that in the final post of this.
So I've been having problems in my memory recently. Like, my memory is just terrible at the moment. I was on the site today on roosterteeth.com.
Yep.
And I saw a picture of myself and a dude dressed as a giant hot dog. Now, that should be something I remember.
I would think you would definitely
remember. I should
remember that.
Having a picture taken with a giant hot dog. You're in it as well. Do you remember that?
No. No recollection of a dude.
I guess we were in Australia or something. How did my brain discard that?
I have no idea.
It's not like the times when you get drunk and you have to be reminded and then it all comes back. This is literally, I don't remember doing it in any way. It's not like, I remember the hot dog guy now. It's just, when did that happen?
I just ended a long chain of travel and like going a lot of places. Like you and I went to Australia.
Yeah, you've been all over the gaff.
And then New Zealand, and then you and I went to Japan.
Yeah,
and I went back and forth to like LA and Seattle and stuff like that. And recently, I went out to visit Twitter headquarters in San Francisco, which was really cool. But we were out that night, and I met somebody that I know from Australia, who was also up in Northern California. And I was talking to that person, and then I turned to, like, a doorman, and he asked me a question. And I had this moment of, like, I don't know where I am. I said, I don't know. Where am I? Like, I had no place in the world.
You're like Marty McFly showing up.
I was, like, unglued. I was, like, it took me, like, a minute to figure out where I was
in the world. So what did you just fumble a load of words? What happened?
No, I just, like, I was, like, I said to the guy, I was, like, why here? And I gave him my ID, and it's, like, I looked, like, I don't know where I am. I don't know. Where are we? It's like, it took me a while to figure out I was in San Francisco.
You need to get more sleep, I think.
Last year, the first morning of New York Comic Con, you know, I was obviously staying in a hotel in New York. I opened my eyes, and I didn't recognize where I was, and I literally, like, rolled out of bed and jumped up to my feet, and I was, like, looking around, like, where the fuck am I? And it was, like, that kind of thing. It was, like, my heart was racing, and I was, like, it was just totally alien to me.
No, I was going to say, yeah, like, that's happened to me before, like, being in hotel rooms and waking up and being, like, that's not where my alarm. Where the fuck?
I like that feeling. I like the excitement of not quite knowing where I am.
Yeah, and you have tattoos telling you like, don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Look for John G.
Yeah. Don't trust Joey Pants.
I just watched that movie again.
Memento.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
I think it's on Netflix and Hulu both.
Did you know that movie is an adaptation?
Really?
It's not an original screenplay. The only original screenplay that Christopher Nolan has made is Inception.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a really good movie, though.
Maybe he made a movie before Memento that nobody knows.
Did Inception?
Yeah, he did make one movie before.
Was it him and his brother wrote Inception?
I don't know. I want to say so. Yeah.
I think his brother had something to do with it.
Somebody was pointing out there was a list of, like, everyone complains now that everything is a sequel or an adaptation. And somebody pointed out a list of, like, all the filmmakers we all revere and love, they make mainly adaptations or sequels. Like, Peter Jackson, even Stanley Kubrick. Has very few. I think Eyes Wide Shut might be his only original movie.
Wow.
He's done nothing but adaptations.
Was Full Metal Jacket an adaptation?
It might be.
It was a book, I think.
Was it? Wow.
2001 definitely was. Yeah, Shining definitely was.
How many Stephen King books have been turned into movies?
How many Stephen King books are there at this point? I don't know.
Probably close to 100.
Do you count TV movies as well? Because they turned The Stand and It into a...
And also, they remade Shining.
Langoliers. Was Langoliers one?
It was a TV movie. Yeah, it was with Bronson Pinchot or whatever.
Was he I remember watching
Malky Bartakamus. He was the creepy dude who was like tearing paper and had that weird look on his face. And God, yeah, there was, and then the pilot was someone who I'd recognize. He was the father from Contact. The one, the small moves, Ellie. That guy. It was that guy. He was a pilot in that movie, or the TV movie.
I don't remember. And I remember I watched that TV movie, and I remember the basic plot, but that's all.
The Langoliers were like these shitty, like CGI characters, with, like this big sort of open mouth that had three jaw things, and it was like kind of weird. And Dean Stockwell was in it too, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
Al from Quantum Leap. You watch Quantum Leap, right?
Yes, I remember Quantum Leap. Okay.
The interesting thing about Langoliers to me is how weird that story is. It's people on a plane who get stuck between today and tomorrow, right? And the Langoliers, see if I remember this right. The Langoliers are round balls of fuzz that eat the world so that it can turn into the world the next day.
Yes.
Fuck it, what the hell? I don't know why I remember that.
There we go.
So, I envisioned them looking like, remember Critters? Remember the movie Critters? Yeah. That's what I imagined.
They kind of look like that, yeah.
All right, so Dean Stockwell, yeah. So he was.
I believed you. I just didn't care.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Oh God. I don't care.
That came out in 1995. Wow, that seems a lot. That seems more recent than I remember it.
Jack is determined to continue this conversation at any cost.
Okay.
What else about it? Let's look up trivia.
Let's look up trivia of.
Yeah, I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna read this thing right here.
Okay. I gotta look up the Langoliers.
I'm gonna keep looking up.
You keep looking that up, but shut up.
Trivia. Hey, there's
trivia. Shut up. God, I want to remind you, this episode's brought to you by Shutterstock.com. Over 20 million stock photos, vectors, illustrations, and video clips featuring daily image updates, over 10,000 new images added each day. Shutterstock.com gives you a global image collection. You can find images from around the world. Flexible pricing. You can choose individual image packs or monthly subscription packages. If you need just one image for your Blogger mockup, you can do that too. Download any image in any size, and you only pay one price. It's easy to use. You can curate your pictures via light boxes. Got enhanced license access, so if you want to run your image in print, you can do that. Got excellent customer service, 24/7 support. So if you want to sign up, you can check it out for free at Shutterstock.com. Sign up for a free account. If you find something you like, use promo code RoosterTeeth9, and you get 30% off of your package. If it's monthly or an individual image, it's RoosterTeeth, then the number 9. Great. And they also have an iPad app that's not in there. I say it every time. They have a great iPad app. You should check that out as well if you have one.
So Rooster Teeth 9. What is the 9 for?
I don't know. I don't come up with the code.
You don't make those?
Whenever they ask me for a promo code, I always say, can you make it Gus is awesome? They never make it Gus is awesome.
Really?
They always end up
with corporate. Didn't you make that a password on one of my things? Like one of my initial passwords that I had to change? It was like I had to log in using Gus is awesome.
Do you know
what?
Who the richest man on Earth is?
The richest man on Earth is the guy who owns IKEA.
That's not true.
Who is it's not Bill Gates?
No.
Nope.
No.
Bill. Some guy who owns IKEA.
I think it's this Carlos Slim,
guy.
The Mexican guy. I worked out that he had like $69 billion or something.
He used to own CompUSA in the United States before they went out of business.
That wouldn't make him the richest man.
So I was working some stuff out.
Jackass.
I think he's 74. Let's say he lived to be 100. If he wanted to spend all of his money by the time he died, he would have to spend $6.7 million a day.
God, what a lie. That would be awesome.
That would be impossible.
How would you do it? I literally don't think he can physically
you
be
cannot
poor.
Buy... Like, I wonder, if you were to buy every Italian sports car made in one day, how much would that cost you? Like, if you bought every Ferrari and every Lamborghini rolling off the line in one day, what would that cost you? Like, is that $6.7 million?
I have no idea.
So that guy's worth... It's Carlos Slim Helu and family. Worth $69 billion, and Bill Gates is worth $61
billion. My guy's not even up there.
I was reading
Warren Buffett, man. He's number three.
I was reading an interview with
the guy who owns IKEA. I don't think Warren Buffett owns IKEA.
No, I'm not saying that.
I was reading an interview with him, the richest dude, and they asked him, how do you feel about being the richest human being on the entire planet? And he was just like, okay. Just didn't give a damn.
No, there was
at some point.
I mean, at what point do you just not care?
There was actually a fascinating AMA on Reddit the other day. It was a millionaire. It was like a multimillionaire was on Reddit, and people were asking him about that. And it was like, he's like, it's weird reaching the point where you literally cannot run out of money. Like, he's like, I couldn't spend like listen, on a normal
that's
day.
That's like asking for trouble. If you say I could not spend all the money I have, you're asking.
I mean,
it's
like a Brewster's Millions type situation.
You will be reading that message, that reply, 20 years from now going, that stupid motherfucker.
Yeah,
you will be that guy. But that I mean, guy like, on a normal day,
like on a normal day, it's like, oh, I'm going to go get something to eat. I'll go enjoy a movie or a baseball game, something like that. Like, he's not, like, he could have the maximum amount of
fun.
He could
buy a baseball game.
He could buy the best box seat at a baseball game, drive a Ferrari there, a Ferrari back, and, like, not even get close to touching his
but a multi-millionaire, he's got $2 million. So let's say he decides he's going to retire.
Okay.
And he starts spending, just for easy numbers, let's say $75,000.
Well, for what it's worth, this guy was also like 29 years old. Like he was,
he
was.
That doesn't make it better. That makes it harder.
Well, I'm saying like he's still working. Like he's not retiring and giving up already.
I always liked your idea, Bernie, of you wearing a different pair of socks every day, like yes. A brand new pair. You never did that, did you? By the way, look at your socks today.
What do I have on today?
Yeah, the polka dot socks there.
Yeah,
but that one. You could just take that to a new extreme. You could just have a brand new everything every day. Just have a new car.
But that's a hassle.
That seems,
itself.
Yeah, like a huge well, no, hassle.
You just like walk out of your house.
You wouldn't have to
like
deal with it yourself. I could just drive a brand new Aston Martin every day.
Yeah, and then at the end have to acquire it.
No, someone could get it for me. And then at the end of every day, I'd crash it into a wall and walk to my house and then get a new one the next day.
So if you had $2 million in the bank, which would make you a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And you spent $75,000 every year. Like you said, I'm going to give myself a $75,000 a year salary. And that would be like... post-taxes, so that should be a little bit more than that. You can live on that for about 27 years doing that.
Oh, yeah?
That's not too shabby.
I could do that.
That's not too shabby.
Are you talking about like throwing the $2 million in a bank and living off the interest?
I'm just saying if you got that, I'm not going to
get no interest, no nothing.
Okay, you know, so you're saying
you know what you love about Looper? We saw Looper.
I can't wait to see Looper.
Do not spoil that movie.
I'm not going to ruin anything for you. I'm just going to tell you something you like about it is that it's a time travel movie, and at one point somebody like looked at somebody else and asked a question about time travel. And the other guy goes, no, we're not going to talk about time travel. He goes, because we're going to sit here all day making diagrams with straws. We're not fucking doing that.
Great.
That's awesome.
And you're like, good. And then you just go with the movie from that point on.
Cool.
It's like Primer really touched on the complexities and the depth of time travel.
Primer is about time travel.
Yeah, Primer is a serious, you have to have like, an FBI-style post-it notes and photographs and string connecting everything.
Didn't they work out it was like 16 different... iterations of time.
Is Primer on Netflix Instant again?
It used to be. I don't think it is.
We talked about that last time.
I think it is again.
Is it again?
I watched it recently. I don't know.
I'll watch it again if it's on there.
I haven't seen it yet. So
I remember being.
You haven't? No, I've heard it's good.
I think his next movie, A Topiary, is supposed to come out next summer.
Right? Yeah. Yep. It's David Carruth is his name.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, I don't know if this means anything, but Elijah tweeted about that.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if he's in it or not. Like, all of a sudden, he just mentioned A Topiary.
It's like
that'd be cool.
Super. There's no information out about it. If you go to their website, it's like nothing. There's no information.
It's like a one color, like green, with just white lettering saying A Topiary.
What is it? What
That's
is it?
It. A Topiary.
We have a website.
I think it's atopiary.com, maybe.
How do you spell that?
T-O-P-I-A-R-Y.
Topiary.com?
A Topiary.
Oh,
we're going to get a lot of pictures of sculpted plants.
Yeah, that's it. That's the website.
All that's right. The entire website.
That's the whole website. There's not.
Are you guys excited about Cloud Atlas?
Wow. No, it sounds
like a new Wachowski Brothers movie. I showed it Fantastic Fest.
Sounds like an Apple product. Not into it.
You know what it reminds me of when I see it? It's like a story about people being connected across different lives. It reminds me of The Fountain, which was that Aronofsky movie, right?
That was too deep for itself.
That was a little iffy.
Yeah, that movie was, it was kind of strange. Like, was it Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman and...
Not Natalie Portman.
No, it's not. It's not the girl that's in all the Tim Burton movies either. Not
Helena Bonham Carter.
It's not Helena Bonham Carter. It's the other one. So I'm not. Don't look up IMDb again. We're not doing that again.
Yeah, all right, it's not going anymore. IMDb.
But I like flying. I like flying the keyboard. Did you see the animated GIF someone made?
Yeah, the animated GIF of you.
That's the only reason you're looking stuff up, isn't it?
No, honestly, that was because I was being all goofy.
Is.
I was no. I haven't done that this time. I'm not playing it up.
You guys watched the Halo 4 Into Dawn thing that came out on Friday?
Yeah, we actually got a chance to see it a little bit earlier, and then like seeing the final product was really really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, I liked it a lot. Like it's definitely setting up for something bigger. Like this first episode that came out.
How many episodes are there?
Five.
I think it's six.
I want to see there's six.
Yeah. I kind of want to wait till the end and watch it all in one lump.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like 6 20-minute episodes.
Are they including
or like something pretty long?
Are they including it with the game in any form?
I don't know.
Maybe is there like a limited edition?
If I knew, I wouldn't know if I'd be able to say.
I'll just get that.
I think there's going to be a DVD of it at the end.
Cool.
So. Couple of things in regards to that. So, Forward Unto Dawn is a live-action Halo series that is produced by Microsoft. It does feature Master Chief, but he's not really in the first episode. It seems like it'd be a story about Lasky. And it's supposed to be the predecessor setup story for Halo 4. So you should watch it.
Yeah, like the opening sequence in Forward Unto Dawn is Master Chief...
getting found.
Yeah, getting found on the... on the Ford Into Dawn, which sounds really weird.
By Lasky, right? By Lasky as an adult.
Right.
So then this is the story of, like, Lasky. He goes back. I'm not going to root it, but it's like earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so this does directly affect, not affect Halo 4, but like it follows Lasky all the way to the point where Halo 4 begins.
Right, you'll get primer for
like
Halo
4. The older guy who's like listening to the distress beacon, that's Lasky.
Oh, okay. Well,
and that
cool.
is being distributed online by Machinima.
Machinima Prime,
right? And so it dovetails in a lot of stuff that's actually happened like in the last couple of days. So Machinima is actually in the process right now of producing a documentary about Rooster Teeth as well.
Yes.
And people are asking questions about that. So we have a documentary crew. They're right here.
Yeah, they're sitting right over there.
They're going to follow us around, and they're doing interviews with people, and they're getting the history and the behind-the-scenes stuff about Rooster Teeth. And that'll be out last 2 weeks of this month and then the first 2 weeks of the
month. I just hope they cut out all the shitty things I said about you. I really hope you don't have to see that.
I hope they do too, Gavin. But and then the last thing is a current event that just came up. It's actually not that current, but it suddenly became relevant today. Microsoft updated the content usage rules for how you can use Halo. But that actually happened a while ago, but for whatever reason, people just found out about it today. And one of the biggest things that's listed in there is that you can't use Microsoft games that are developed by Microsoft, like Viva Pinata, Halo,
Forza.
I don't know, Fable's on there, but I think that would be on there.
No, Fable's on there. It's
Fable's
pretty much all their Xbox or their Microsoft Studios games.
And that you can use them to make content, and you should read the rules if you're going to do that, but you can use them to make content, but you can't monetize them through DVD sales, or now they've spelled out YouTube advertisements as well, or website advertisements. I think that there's carved out in there that you can do a donation link, so people can donate directly to your project, which makes me wonder if that would include Kickstarter as well.
I don't know.
That's it. It's always hard to keep up with the way the internet changes and funds things.
That being said, we're all okay.
So we get pounded a lot with that, like saying, "Oh, does that mean that you guys can't make Red vs. Blue anymore because it's on YouTube?" But you know, the rules before also spelled out that you couldn't sell DVDs and merchandise. Obviously, we were able to do that, so you know. We obviously have a different relationship, and they just put out a statement where they talked about us and they talked about Machinima, is that we have commercial agreements with Microsoft that allow us to do that. So we appreciate your concern, but we're okay.
You're still going to see Fails of the Week. You're still going to see Horse every week. You're still going to see Red versus Blue.
Yeah, it'll still be there.
Thank God Fails and Horse are taken care of.
Woo!
And also Red versus Blue.
Yeah, and that other show that the other half of the company
dude,
does.
Fails is, I mean, Fails is how many episodes and how many views now?
God, we're at like 104, maybe more than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
God, 107? I don't know. We've done Fails so long now.
Don't go Jake making jokes over there, Cirola.
Yeah, there you go. What's up?
I'm about to start making jokes because Gavin's stuck in the beer bottle.
Your finger's stuck.
He's trying to be super nonchalant about it. But
about 5 minutes ago, I jammed my finger in this beer bottle and it's just not coming out.
It's turning red. His finger is turning red.
I was trying to do it slyly, but now I'm just going to. Now everyone knows. I'm going to try.
Are you legitimately stuck?
Nah.
Twisted.
Oh my God.
Did it.
That made a great pop.
Gavin got his finger stuck in a bottle of beer.
Wow.
What are you drinking there?
Why would you stick your finger in there, you idiot?
I don't know. Jack was saying words.
Words, and that. So if I start talking again, you're gonna do. Oh, your hand was right over it again. You almost did it again. So if I just start talking, at some point you're getting yourself caught in there.
So I've got this favorite new obnoxious thing that I like to do now. Is I like to buy stuff and then forget about it, and then walk back into the store I bought it and put it back.
What?
Well, when I was moving here, I found. Do you have pot noodles in this country? Like it's a brand. It's like instant noodles.
Pot noodles?
In a pot.
I don't know.
No, I can't say that.
But when I was moving, I found one down the back of some stuff I was packing away that expired in 1998. So, and they expire like 5 years after you buy them. So it's really old. And I went back into the store where it was bought, and I just put it back on the shelf.
Why would you do that?
Because it's going to be really annoying and confusing for someone, isn't it?
It expired.
Yeah. But it expired like 10 years ago.
Oh
like
my God.
14 years ago. What if someone gets it home and eats it?
Well, nobody's going to buy it. All the branding's all different. Like, they've changed their packaging.
Maybe they will buy it.
That'd be awesome if they did.
You know, it might actually be something that happened to me. I did that one time. There's a weird thing. I don't think they do this anywhere else in the world. I eat pizza with ranch dressing. Do you do that at all, Jack?
I do not.
You should not admit to that.
Is that an Austin thing?
That's a fat person thing.
Well, okay, but I don't do it anymore.
Okay,
but it's like, I'll eat
the garlic butter or whatever that comes with the Papa John's stuff.
That's just Greek cooking oil.
That's even worse.
That's like cooking oil with garlic salt.
No, everyone's crazy.
I've eaten ranch with pizza.
You don't have to put anything on a pizza. Ever.
No, you don't, but you just try it. It's really good.
People put ketchup on pizza. That's insane.
I never heard of that.
What?
That's stupid. You're making that up.
Ketchup on pizza?
Maybe it's an English
It's already got tomato sauce.
Ketchup's disgusting. It's the food ruiner.
I agree.
Yeah.
But a few,
wait, no, but
a few.
Fries with ketchup are so much better than normal fries with ketchup.
Your opinion is incorrect.
No, that is Bernie. Right. Back ketchup, me up on this.
Ketchup is used to hide shitty grease and shitty quality French fries.
No, ketchup on fries is good.
No, ketchup.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely disgusting. I just ruined our chance at ever getting a ketchup sponsor for the podcast.
Yeah, fine.
But I will not stand for ketchup.
John Hines is watching. Or not John. John Kerry, right? Wasn't he the Hines guy?
Was he?
Or no. John Kerry's the beard dude.
Why don't we look it up on IMDb?
No. Well, John Kerry was related. Or he married into the...
Again, Jack, no one cares.
The Bush fortune, I think. Or whatever. The Bush beer. I don't know. Someone Hines.
Nah.
Maybe it was Hines. Maybe it was Hines.
Okay.
What are you asking? I'm sorry. I was making
John Kerry married into the
Hines family.
It was the Hines family.
Hines family. His wife.
What the fuck? Yeah. Bring it.
His wife was.
No, I wasn't doubting you. I said I didn't care.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a whole different story. I'm sorry that I'm adding to this podcast.
Just got a little bit awkward.
Tangents? That's what the whole podcast is. It's
yeah,
tangents.
But it's ones that we care about.
So listen, time when I was heading home, calm down, I was heading home and Jordan, she ordered a pizza and she called me and she said, I ordered pizza. So I said, I'll stop and I said, did you get any ranch dressing? And she said, no. Sorry. And so I thought I'd stop and get some pizza or some ranch dressing for my pizza. I stopped at a gas station. I did not notice this, but it was like a bottle of ranch dressing in a gas station convenience store that had been like facing the window with the sun hitting it. It had been there so long the label was faded.
God.
And I think when I finally looked at it, it was like 10 months expired. When I put it on there and ate it, when the ranch dressing got in my mouth, it actually physically crackled like it was the worst feeling ever. It was the most spoiled, disgusting thing.
Is that
ever.
What Pop Rocks is, do you think? Just old condiments?
I don't think that's what that is.
No.
So I don't know what Pop Rocks is, but it's not that.
For some reason, I have this weird thing where I'm disgusted by spoiled milk, but I can't taste it. So there's been several occasions where I've had milk that's gone bad in my house, and I'll like pour it in some cereal or pour a glass and start drinking it, and my wife will look at me with it, like a disgusted look on her face and say, what are you doing? It's like, having some milk. It's like, that milk's expired. I'm like, it is? She's like, you can't taste it? Like, oh.
You can't
taste
bad milk.
It's like lumps coming out into your glass.
Yeah, like one time it was practically lumpy, and I was eating it with some cereal. It's just like, can't you tell? I was like, yeah, I guess it tastes a little funny. I thought maybe it was the cereal.
If milk does expire and it goes bad, it is lumpy. Like, is that unhealthy for you?
I think it is
unhealthy
what
for
is
you.
Cheese? Just take your old milk, go back to the store, and put it back on the shelf. Yeah.
Does cheese expire?
Yes.
Yes, cheese expires.
Cheese does expire?
I know this because I had some expired Kraft in my fridge that I found over the weekend.
Oh. How do you find expired cheese? Is it just like got mold on it and stuff, I guess?
Yeah, I'd never seen mold on a slice of Kraft before. I was like, oh, holy shit. So like I went and I found the package and it had expired in January.
Gross.
I didn't know.
Exactly the individually wrapped?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I didn't know that coffee could mold.
Yep, coffee can
That's
mold.
Gross. To see like floating skin of mold
what
on top of
coffee. What doesn't spoil?
Dude.
There's water.
Corn?
Water might eventually get like algae in it.
Whenever we do, every Thanksgiving, we do the turkey that we deep fry, and that's like 5 gallons of peanut oil that I use for that. I never know if, like, can I save that and then use it the next year if I get it up to like 400 degrees?
Is it expensive?
It's not expensive, but the thing is, you would hate this, is that you can't just throw it away because you have to, like, recollect the oil, put it back in the container, and then you have to take it somewhere to be disposed
of.
Just
put it on the plants or something.
Nope. Oil is bad, dude. Oil will, like, kill anything. Like, you can't dump it in the garage. You'll have, like, a permanent oil stain there.
No. Just dump it in your neighbor's yard. Problem solved.
There you go.
I fucking hate having rules and having to dispose of stuff a certain way. Like, I know recently we have some people here at the company who are probably doing the right thing, who are investigating ways to dispose of batteries properly.
It always says on batteries, dispose of correctly. I just chuck them in a bin.
You can take them to Best Buy. Best Buy's got the bin.
You
got
to take them to like.
So you can't just throw them away.
No, they have mercury and like lead. And
we're actually getting a battery recycling thing here now because Yvonne discovered that we throw away a lot of batteries and she says that that's not acceptable. And so
or just buy rechargeable batteries. How about that?
Or buy rechargeable batteries. I used to do that, but it was a problem where my batteries were thrown away.
I think the ultimate example of someone's wealth is, do you use AA batteries in your Xbox controllers or do you use the charger ones?
Why is
that a sign of wealth?
Because if you can afford to get AA's all the time.
No. That means somebody can't afford to buy a rechargeable battery because they come with double A's.
It's also convenience. It's like your time is so worth it.
Well, it's cheaper over time to buy the rechargeable one, isn't it?
All right, people on Twitter, stop telling me that honey doesn't spoil. I get it. I'm always afraid of something we talk about. The goddamn podcast that's going to take over my Twitter feed for a year.
There you go. Yeah. Have they gotten better about that? Have they gotten better at being
the internet? I'm sure like a week from now, somebody's going to be like, honey doesn't spoil. You know what else is weird about Twitter and the podcast? People will listen to the podcast and they'll respond to me on Twitter at like 12 p.m. on a Friday, like in context. They're going, no, that was by Stanley Kubrick. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, and then if we make a correction later in the podcast, like, oh, okay, cool, you caught it. Like, you didn't even wait till the podcast was over. Yeah. Your live tweet.
You couldn't finish it.
Your live tweet something happened a week ago.
But they don't even say, like, on the podcast you said this. They just hear me say it or Gus say it, and then they just respond to us. And it's like, what are you talking about? You know,
sometimes I have to play internet detective, like, okay, what's going on here? We have Stanley Kubrick, and we have a tweet.
Well, no, actually, it's funny. On Twitter last night, I was like, hey, remind me to pay my mortgage tomorrow. I got about 400 tweets of people telling me to pay my mortgage. I was going to forget.
Well, it worked. Why are you complaining? It worked.
It worked. I'm not complaining. I'm saying that was awesome.
It's my terrible...
That was successful use of Twitter.
That's another example of my terrible memory. I made some joke about I want to donate my body to movies when I die instead of get buried.
Oh, yeah.
So I came up with like a fake website, bodiesformovies.com. All of a sudden, the next day, I get a load of tweets with people just linking me bodiesformovies.com.
Yeah, someone bought it.
Which now redirects to my profile on Rooster Teeth. But for a while, I was like, why do I keep...
After
what the hell,
we talked about the
movie?
Toilet that weighs your poop,
Someone
bought shitstats.com.
Oh, they did?
And that's the website now.
People were bitching about the fact that...
Someone bought shitstats.com. That might be the quote of the podcast right there.
You know, the...
Everything's taken, by the way. Jeff was trying to figure out the other night if dicks, and more dicks was taken, .com was taken, or something like that, and it was. It's like everything's gone. Ugh. Try and come up with something involving a dick.
I just think at that house, you guys should just come up with another word for dick, just so you don't say the same word. Yeah. Like, I'm afraid you're going to get like repetitive stress on your throat from saying the word dick over and over again.
Just one vocal cord, the one that's in charge of dick.
Like, when you guys go out to eat, sit down at a table and you go, so what do you want to talk about for dicks today? Like, literally it's like 2 minutes of the conversation, just straight to dicks.
We actually have there's a piece of paper by the conference room where you can write down when you're going to use the conference room and what you want to talk about in your meeting. And every week we write down butts meeting.
There's one thing on that goddamn piece of paper every week, and it's butts meeting.
We discover that nobody else uses that thing. So at 3:30 on a Friday, butts meeting.
Yep.
Kerry came to a butts meeting. He did really well.
Yeah.
He actually, while I was in Australia, I missed one of the early butts meetings, and he took minutes for it.
So I legitimately think, I don't think I've ever seen another conference room meeting scheduled on that thing aside from the butts meeting.
It just doesn't happen.
I used to... Right, we were leading up to RTX, had a lot of
meetings. Maybe RTX, yes.
And I would schedule a lot of meetings.
But I think, I don't know if that thing didn't exist long after. Or it was like maybe a few weeks before RTX, before we had it. Then we had this form we had to fill out to use the conference room. And that, you know, the butts meeting has been on there ever since. It's got a permanent place on Friday afternoons.
I'm going to talk about what is the butts meeting? What are you doing?
We just talk about different aspects of butts.
I'm not a part of the butts meeting. I'm not allowed to be in the butts
Jack's
meeting.
Jack's not invited. It's mainly Michael, Ray, myself, and Kerry if he's available. Kerry's a busy guy, though, so we can't always get hold of him. But pretty good.
Kerry's been standing on a ladder this whole podcast. I don't know why.
It's because that amazing sweeping crane shot.
You know, you talk about all the websites that are taking, like the dicks, and more dicks. And I think we've talked about this on a podcast before.
Nothing but dicks.
I think the barrier to entry to owning a domain is too low. Like, it's so cheap to get a domain.
Yeah, you think it should be like a grand.
Yeah, like, you know, you can get one for like $15 on Dotster. You know, Hover was one of our sponsors a couple weeks ago. I think there it's $10 for a domain. It's like nothing. It's like an afterthought to buy a domain.
You don't even have to host it now.
Right.
They host it for you. Yeah.
And so I think we should raise the barrier to entry. That way people aren't...
This is coming from the guy who owns like 40 domains.
Yeah. The thing is, nobody does it. They're just like parked pages. Nobody actually does anything interesting.
We're guilty of it too. I mean, we own Straight Snape Kills Gay Dumbledore.
Do we still have that?
Oh, yeah. No, we lost that one.
Yeah, we lost that one. Well, someone's about to buy it.
We've let some of ours go. Like, I think presidential sluts we let go, right?
No, you told me to let that one go, but I reclaimed it. I re-registered that one. I can't let presidential sluts go.
That was dick fart vagina butt for a while.
We still own that one.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, he's a musician, and he'd be on stage singing or whatever. He'd be like, go to my website at chocolateunit.com. And so for his birthday, I went and registered chocolateunit.com for like 10 years. So now it just redirects to his Facebook.
Why would he say that?
I don't know, because Chocolate Unit sounds like an awesome website.
My favorite was the time we let the Achievement Hunter domain expire.
That was your favorite?
That was
a scary day.
I was with Jeff in a hotel room in London when that happened. He was cacking his pants.
Dude, that was a rough day. We lost the AchievementHunter.com.
Yeah, I think Bernie called me like on a Sunday morning. He's like, is Achievement Hunter just a parked page for you? I was like, no. It's like, oh, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, so what was, okay, what was the story behind that, like, as far as getting it back? Like, I know we let it lapse by accident.
But the registrar holds on to it for, I guess, a day or two.
Okay.
So
something like that does happen.
Yeah, you're able to contact the registrar.
Thank God for that. To you. So,
just so you know, we register things way out. Like, roosterteeth.com, we have 2,432 days before that expires.
Nice.
That's how far out it's registered.
Do you have gavinfree.com?
I don't know.
No? Do you have GusSirola.com?
I have Sirola.com.
You have Sirola? But is GusSirola.com something different?
Who cares? Like, my goal in registering Sirola.com is I want to make sure no other Sirola in the world had control over the name. Like there was, for one time, an insurance agent in San Antonio whose last name was Sirola registered it, and he had it for a year, and I got fucking pissed. I was so angry, wow. And he let it lapse after that 1 year. So I registered it, and I'm like, I'm never letting it go again. Nice.
Were you waiting for it to tick down?
I set an alert. I set a calendar reminder so that I could register that domain.
So we know you have BernieBurns.com. I have JackMacola.com.
I have Bernie.com.
What do you use it for? Do you use it for anything?
I use it for mail. Yep.
So. Do you use it as a website for anything?
No, I just had that stupid parked page for that. Yeah. Remember, they got in all the trouble with Bernie Tasmania.
Yeah. When was the last time you had the Bernie? What's on Bernie.com right now?
It's Will Ferrell playing the cowbell.
Are you sure?
Is it?
I don't have access to that.
I would check on the internet, but I'm allowed, not allowed no, to touch a keyboard.
You're allowed to check if it's relevant.
You can put up Bernie.com.
Yeah, I'll put it up on the thing. So we can see me flying the...
Make sure we cut to Jack so someone can make a GIF out of it.
It's really crazy, too, because... I mean, I think it's okay to say this. When we first started Achievement Hunter, we were going to call it Bleep Bloop. Remember that?
Yeah.
And BleepBloop.com, we couldn't get BleepBloop.com or the YouTube thing for it. Because that was the Bleep Bloop was the Achievement Hunter, or the RVB PSA that we did to announce the start of Achievement Hunter.
Yeah.
And so we just couldn't get it. But Bleep Bloop is like this tiny little site.
There's Bernie.com if you're watching the live stream.
One of the other early ideas for Achievement Hunter was AchieveMan.com.
Yep. Oh, come on. We've talked about that. Enough's enough.
Which I think is like the worst name ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're listening on the audio podcast, we'll, of course, put all this stuff in the link dump as well.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Dumped.
You get that problem solved with the M4A or whatever that is, with the links in iOS?
No, it's still acting up for some people. Some people actually, after I talked about it, they replied that it's working for them. It's a larger percentage of people than I thought.
Yeah.
So it must be a bug that's just affecting some people, and I'm one of the people affected by it.
That's an iOS 6 thing?
It's a podcasts app issue, okay. But not for everyone. Some people on iOS 6 in the podcasts app, it works fine.
So how do you feel about the maps on iOS 6?
I've had no problems with
it. Me neither. I went to Philadelphia like right after I installed iOS 6, and I had no issue getting around the city or anything like that. But I was like, oh, we've got the new maps. Like, and I'm like, this is awesome. I can do all 3D and see which buildings are which. It's cool as hell.
I miss Street View. That was cool.
It was Street View on the iOS device?
The later Maps, ones, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But you can download the Google Maps app, which is like basically...
No. You can go to Google Maps mobile site. There's no Google Maps native iOS app.
Oh, is there not? No. Is there one for like Android or something like that?
Yes.
Okay, that's what it is then. Because I went to the maps.google.com and it popped up like downloads for your phone. And I was like...
Oh. No, you just add it to your home screen. Essentially, it's a bookmark for your browser. Okay.
But it works too.
So we had to be kind of old school... domain guys, though, too, where we've always felt like you had to register a .com. It's not really the case anymore, because people just look up stuff on Google.
Or Facebook.
And in our case, or YouTube. You know, YouTube is now the second most used search engine in the world.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, it's Google, then it's YouTube. YouTube is a search engine.
And then what?
Probably Yahoo or something like that. Maybe Bing is in there somewhere.
Man, how...
Good Rishi sponsor, Bing. But, so...
Search goes social.
I had a chance to buy two domains, but one was super ridiculously expensive. One was rt.com. For Rooster Teeth, I thought it'd be great just to have the smallest possible domain name. But I think that was like $75,000.
And that's owned by like some Russian news
organization. Russian Today owns it.
Does anyone have...
It's actually turned into a major site.
Yeah, it's huge.
And does anyone have .com?
.com.
Just a period .com.
And then RVB.com. I could have gotten RVB.com for... It was $20,000. I was like, I just cannot as a business expense just like $20,000 for RVB.
I know CNET owns com.com.
Oh, yeah?
Well, who owns www.com?
I don't know.
I've seen that before.
So .com is taken. It's Park Page. She's pretty.
It's great use of that website.
Maybe her name's Dot.
Well, we know the guy named that owns XE.com.
Yeah?
Which is that exchange
currency
site.
Converter.
Yeah.
I bought my copy of Final Doom autographed by John Romero from that guy. Well, I bought it from the Child's Play auction at that we went to last winter.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He donated that.
Didn't I didn't know that. His name is Steve Dengler.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. So it was funny. Like, there's a story behind that. Like, so we went to the Child's Play auction last December, and was it December? I guess.
Yes.
And so there was one item there that I was like, this is like, if I'm going to spend money on anything, this is going to be it. And it was a copy of Final Doom autographed by John Romero. And I was like, this game was probably one of the most important games of my life as a kid growing up. And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm not going to spend more than $300 on this thing. And so it started off like $50. So I put like $100 on there and I walked away. It's a silent auction.
Did you lose your virginity before or after you played Doom?
After. Well, that was like, I was super young when I played Doom. But anyway. Huh?
How old?
Well, let me finish the story. We'll get
I'm
into that later.
Now I want to answer this question. How old were
Sidebar.
You?
Sidebar.
I was 19 when I lost my virginity.
How old were you, Gabbo?
What? Did I hear someone say whoa in the
That was a really loud whoa.
Jesus.
How old were you, Gavin?
I think I was 18 or 19.
Yeah, I was about that age. I was about 17 or 18. I went to college early. I was 17 when I went to college.
Okay, should I Gavin?
Shut
19.
Up. We're on a better subject now.
He's 19.
You could have lost your virginity in your teens? Yeah. That seems impossible.
By the way, I'm convinced that everyone's lying.
Well,
yeah, right?
I did it.
Why?
I just don't believe Jack.
You, what? Well, why would you lie? You're saying you just got later, younger or older?
You said 18 or
I'm not actually sure. I think 19. I was 19.
Yeah.
I don't believe
How
it.
How the fuck
really?
Did I know that information?
I think you were 25. No.
You're an asshole. Anyway.
That was the first thing that made the crew laugh. The entire podcast,
you.
By the way.
So anyway, so I was like, I'm not going to spend more than $300 on this thing. Throughout the night, it ended up going up. I hit 300, and then like someone put like $400 down for it. I was like,
oh, wait, are you talking about losing your virginity now?
Yes, I'm talking about losing my virginity.
Now he lost it.
He's bidding on a woman.
And so I walked back by, and I was looking at this thing, and this guy, Steven, he saw me looking. He's like, oh, I donated that. If you win that, I can get Romero to personalize it for you. And I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. So I'm like, so I put $450 down. I set the pin down, and they said, auction's over. That's it. Game over. That's it. Finally, you know, everyone step away. And I was like, oh. So I sniped it by accident. But then I gave it to him. Like, I literally, like, paid for it, handed it to him, and then he mailed it off to John Romero, and then they mailed it to me.
Yeah, there's no way you were 19.
Where were you in college?
Well, I mean, ask your mom how old I was.
Oh, that was nice.
Oh, where did that came out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
Rude. She might be watching right now.
That is true.
She's not a sponsor. It's okay.
She might be using your account.
That was nice.
Like I'm logged in at home.
We'll put this up for the public later.
I'm
going to say the 18 seems late for somebody who grew up in Europe.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I don't know. I was on the internet a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
And your British accent did
it
nothing
It did nothing for,
you. For
me in England.
Didn't help
in Now
any
it's
way
a superpower. But back then.
Wait, so you said 18.
Well, you're playing catch up.
You said 18 or 19.
You said 17 or 18.
Oh, you said 17 or 18. So you were in high school.
I was in college.
You were in college.
I came to college. I just turned 17 when I came.
So you missed.
I'm sure all those freshman girls were hot for the 17-year-old.
Dude, and
I've seen pictures of you at 17.
Yeah.
You look like a fucking 12-year-old.
I did, yeah.
I'm sure you were beating the pussy off with a stick.
I was, yeah. It was tough. That's always my workout routine, was beating off.
Who's in charge of that quote of the week Twitter thing that happens on the Rooster Teeth podcast account?
I don't know why.
That'll be it.
Yeah, yeah
right.
That'll absolutely be it.
Jesus. Oh, you saw the Adam Sandler video for that video.
So oh, my God. Wait, so you said 18 or 19?
19.
I said 19.
I looked like Gus with a baseball cap. So what does that look like, basically?
So basically, we all missed out on high school. Like, none of us got laid in high school.
Oh, no. God, no.
God, man. That's...
No,
not Gavin, surprising.
You were out of high school, right?
My memory's terrible.
Don't you graduate at like 10th grade?
Memory's terrible. That would be something I would think you would remember the first time you got laid.
I remember that moment because it was terrible, but.
It was terrible all around.
Wow.
Gavin, someone says your fly is down. Let me watch.
Is your fly down?
They just made me look. It's fine. Is it down?
You pervert.
No, it's up. Idiot.
Nope.
At least you're not wearing shorts this week and showing off your John Thomas.
It's true.
People kept complaining about my Holocaust-looking legs after the first podcast, so I wear pants now. So,
my Holocaust-looking
legs. I don't have to look at my Holocaust legs anymore.
Jesus.
You look much better. This podcast has taken a really racist
turn.
Yeah,
some weird, oddly sexual turn.
So we were talking recently about how everyone likes grapes, and how grapes are awesome.
Yep.
I've discovered that food...
This is a weird jump to make from...
No, I
got bored of all that Doom shit. Anyway, but like...
We were talking about sex. We were talking about Doom.
All right.
Yeah, but we were talking about sex with us.
True.
Nobody wants to
pretty much
that.
Like Doom.
Give me right here. Hey, let's thank the guy who sent us all this poop.
Yeah,
AWM22 on the site. He was supposed to come by for a tour this week, but I guess something popped up and he wasn't able to make it after all. So instead of coming on a tour, he sent us a ton of liquor instead.
Somebody told me he's a doctor.
He's a doctor? Really?
Yeah.
Doctor Dude, Awesome.
There's so much boost.
He's a doctor of liquor. A doctor of getting fucked up.
Dr. Oh, that's booze. A skunky beer.
It's What's wrong with Stella? Stella's great.
Stella fine. Sucks.
We went to Belgium. We had a Stella.
God.
It was good.
Do you remember the beer we had in... Was it Antwerp with the chalice?
The goblet.
Ceramic
the woman cup. That was trying to kill us.
Ceramic?
So yeah, I did something like that. That's how I felt drinking that. We lost all power of speech. This woman, she was an Irish woman running a bar in
Yeah, Antwerp, it was wrong in every...
Right? Yeah. And she just kept feeding us.
She was trying to murder us. And then the only memory I have of that night is all the video you took where Jeff's wrestling me in the hotel room and trying to punch my knob and stuff.
Once again, straight to the dicks with these two. I mean, it was just like...
Anyway, this is what I was saying about grapes, right? Some food is only good at the size that it is. Like, I love grapes. I could eat, like, 50 grapes. But...
Go on.
If there was just one grape the size of, like, a...
Right.
An apple or something wouldn't be as good.
Right.
Even though it's the same volume as 50 grapes.
Or if you had tons of tiny apples, they'd be like...
Yeah, it'd be fiddly, it'd be annoying.
I could see tons of tiny apples being annoying. A giant grape would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't, because it'd be like...
That would be pretty awesome.
It would go all over your shirt. And that, like, the skin is the best bit. It wraps around every individual grape. If it was just one skin, I'm not sure eating a load of...
If it was one skin as opposed to multiple skins.
I'm not sure a load of grape flesh... would be good in a big bowl. I don't think it'd be any good.
What we could do is we could skin a bunch of grapes.
Yeah.
And then put them all in a bowl, and you could just eat those and see how it is.
Oh. Or can someone genetically modify a grape to be huge just so we can try it?
That sounds much easier.
Then you can make like a football-sized raisin. That would be awesome. Whoa.
Why is it? I was gonna like compare it to a bigger fruit. I should have said grapefruit. Why is it called a grapefruit?
I don't know.
It's nothing to do with it.
No, not at all. I don't even think it's the same family. What is a grape? Is it citrus or what is it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It might be one of those weird things like a vine. It might be closely related to a tomato, a grape. Right?
I have no idea.
Let's look it up on IMDb right now.
Go for it.
On IMDb. Look at the cowboy raisins.
What is the grape work with Dean Stockwell?
You were on IMDb.
I looked up one thing on IMDb, now suddenly I'm the IMDb guy.
One thing on IMDb. You were on IMDb for like 20 minutes.
What the fuck are you talking about? We've got footage now. We can look it up.
You were like,
Dean Cutter. Langoliers. That was it.
I looked up the trivia. Dean Stockwell.
I looked up Langoliers and looked up trivia of Langoliers. That was it.
Oh, is the cat looking for a place to throw up?
No, it's not. Come here, Joe.
I like that drain sound that a cat makes as it's thrown up. It's like, it doesn't sound like
it's
a cat.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
You know, I had a cat once, and right before it threw up, I swear to you, the cat walked in the room, it looked me in the eyes, and it said, hello. It threw up. I thought in my mind, it practiced that for years, and it got one word out, and then barfed. The effort of saying hello.
Dude, my cat's gotten in the habit now of throwing up on my bed, which is the worst way to wake up ever. Nothing's worse than waking up at 4 a.m. and having a cat throwing up
Didn't
on
you
your
say
bed.
Your cat threw up on your bed and then you just went back to sleep and left it there?
No, dog's throwing up is way worse than
cats. No, he passed out with Cheetos.
That was a different story. That's a whole different story. That was one of the few times I blacked out in my life, was when my friends dumped Cheetos on me and then ate them off of my
bed. He didn't get laid in high school. How was that even?
That was in college, actually.
But I had a cat, not my cat, I had a girlfriend who had a cat, and I took her out of town for the weekend, and we came back. My pillow in her bed, the cat shit on my pillow. She was like sending me a message. Unbelievable.
Get the fuck out.
What is with Joe? He keeps like coming by. It's like he's trying
He was like sleeping here on the couch. It was perfect. And then, I don't know, hear bottles or something, glass clanking, and he ran off.
Everybody.
Scared him to death. I love this. Oh, look at Joe in the camera frame for all you people listening at home.
He matches the set really well, doesn't he?
He is.
I guess he does.
We can't get rid of him.
We're not going to keep him, though.
Joe. Have you done
So I missed the last podcast. Did he do any pendulum stuff with Joe the cat?
No. It's my favorite thing.
This long cat.
Joe. Does he do upside down pendulum? Or does he have?
No, I wouldn't do that to him. Yeah. I don't think he'd like that.
Oh, they're painful.
No, you were saying it's funny because like now everyone sort of handles Joe a little bit more rough.
Like Lindsay always hangs out with Joe now.
Yeah.
So.
Joe the cat's awesome.
I saw her slide him across the studio floor here the other day. Because he was being an asshole.
Actually, a good thing for you to search instead of boring shit would be the video of the remote control car just driving over the cat. The cat just doesn't give a damn.
Look that up. Yeah. Look that video up.
I'm sure if I looked up cat doesn't give a fuck, I'm going to get 3 billion responses, though.
Full screen that video.
Let's see here.
Google.
Cat doesn't give a
Use the number 2 fuck. Search engine, friend. YouTube.
We just have a close-up of Joe. This is Joe typing.
Cat, I want to see what this is. Cats don't give a fuck about oranges. All right, here we go.
This isn't the video. What is this?
I don't know what this is, but this looks awesome.
I don't know what...
Whoa, what is this? Look at this multiple pane we've got going on here.
Wow.
Those cats do not care about those oranges.
So, for those of you listening at home, you can watch this in the link dump. These cats do not give a fuck about
oranges.
Along
with five other videos, apparently.
I don't know if I can do that with my cat.
What if you had an orange the size of a basketball? That I would want, like an orange the size of a pumpkin. No.
Yeah, orange is too fiddly.
Too fiddly?
Yeah, there's just too much effort in it. A grapefruit is not worth eating.
Good lord.
That's awesome. Oh.
Okay.
All right. free advertisement for whatever set that is. There we go.
Okay. Let's not devolve to the cat video.
No, we've got
cats
in cats impression.
No, don't cut to it.
Just stay on me.
cut to it. It's a depressed kitty cat. So he's so sad.
So, how long have you owned your cats, Jack?
When did Uday and Kusei Hussein get killed?
That's a good question. 2006.
2004?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been 04. Like after.
I got my cats the week after. Uday.
God damn it!
The week after Uday and Kusei Hussein were killed.
Okay.
But they were alive for a few months before then. Like, they were born probably 3 or 4 months before that, so.
I found out my cat, Lloyd...
My cats are named Uday and Kusei, by the way, if anyone's listening to the podcast.
My cat was born on the day that my great-grandmother died. Like, the exact day. It's trippy, right? She's in there.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Of course I don't. I'm not an idiot.
So I did a research for a... I did research for a project I was writing, and I was like, trying to figure out how many people die in a day. What's wrong?
He's looking at the poor screen.
Oh, Jack's going to the cat video.
I'm sorry. Okay, we can move away from that. It's a cat looking very depressed.
They're doing research. How many people die in a day?
I think it was like 85,000 I figured out. So what I did was I took like how many people die in a year, and you know, the birth rate for the year, the death rate for the year, and then divided it by 365 days, and then also trying to figure out like how many people die in the U.S. every single day versus like...
Why were you doing this?
85,000 seems like a low number.
I was researching it for a script.
I would think more people die in a day. Like out of 6 billion people in the world, 85,000 seems like an insignificant number.
In a day?
Yeah.
That's a big turnover, dude.
But you still have a lot of people being born, and we're still growing.
Yeah.
So are there cemeteries that are just at capacity, where you can't put anyone else?
I think there's old cemeteries that you aren't allowed to bury people in anymore.
So what's the point of them?
What does that mean?
Why are they still there? Surely it's got to the point where everyone who knew that person's dead anyway. So
what?
Bulldoze it, concrete, get a new one.
What do you mean bulldoze it? What does that mean?
Yeah, but you still have to dig into the ground. What do you do with all the fucking bodies?
I think it should be illegal to embalm people.
I think it should be illegal to bury people, yes.
Yeah,
bury them, but just don't embalm them.
Nah, just don't put people in the floor. It's a weird place.
I'm always
a waste of resources.
Just recycle.
Yeah.
Everything's natural, right?
Just throw them in the forest.
Could you make me into like a plant fertilizer or something?
What does that mean?
You are naturally a plant fertilizer.
Well, do it. Put me in a bag.
Just
let me
die.
Buy.
Don't put
just
you in a bag. Just don't.
All right. All right.
Throw you in.
Let's do a living will on the fly here. Do you want to be hooked up to a machine to be survived?
No.
Like no.
Give me a day.
A day on the machine.
If I'm not back in a day, fuck it.
24 hours, and then. We can put the thing on a timer, like one of the Christmas light timers, and then shut it off after a day.
Didn't make it.
Then do you want to be embalmed?
No.
Do you want to be buried?
No. What is the process?
What do you want to be done with your mortal remains?
Used in a movie.
Yeah.
Like in a Viking ship or just like in a...
Bodiesformovies.com.
I really don't care.
And then what do you want to be done?
I'm already taken up with bodiesformovies.com. Yeah. I'm going to be just propped up in a war movie with C4 in my stomach.
What about on a machine? Do you want to be kept alive on a machine?
Nah.
Okay, we're going to use this. What about you?
I say 1 week on a machine, then after that... Pull everything out of me.
What's going to happen in that week?
Maybe I'll wake up. I don't know. But if not, whatever.
There's a crazy story we talked about a long time ago about the people who were in comas.
And
they give them, what medicine was it?
Oh, it was some kind of over-the-counter cult medication.
No, it was a sleep medicine. Ambien. They give them Ambien.
Sounds like a Robin Williams movie.
People in a coma,
Awakenings.
They give them Ambien, and they wake up, and they're lucid for an hour.
1 hour.
And then the Ambien wears off, and they go back into the coma.
So do they remember the experience they had when they're awake? Like, can you say goodbye in that time?
So, like, the next day they remember...
Imagine this. You wake up. All right, you've been asleep for 15 years.
Go ahead.
You're going to be dead in an hour, but I want you to know that I was here the whole time.
Right.
And then the person's like, what? What are you talking... What? Dead. I wouldn't even want to... That's going to be the worst hour ever. don't do that to someone.
But they're not dead, for the record. They come back. They just go back into the coma.
And then eventually come
back.
You
can wake them up the next day.
Okay.
That's like an extreme version of Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's like the abridged version of that.
A coma would be...
The fucked up thing was, like, they give them the dose of Ambien or whatever. I think I'm pretty sure it's Ambien.
It's not Ambien. I'm pretty sure it's not.
They wake up. They're totally lucid. Then as the effectiveness wears off, they like their speech starts slurring. They slow down. Like, they can't quite form sentences anymore.
And they start to panic.
And they go rigid.
Because they know they're going back to... Yeah, they go rigid because of gravity.
Because
the body wants to be a horizontal. But they start to say, like, oh, no, I'm going back to that, you know?
Oh,
this is creepy.
That's twisted, man.
Yeah.
That's harsh. Oh. I wouldn't do that to someone.
Do you know what I always think about this? Whenever we get to the discussions of, like, consciousness and or, like, death, for instance, people are so frightened of death. Something I always point out is the fact that people are scared of being dead and that, like, lasting through time, through infinity, that they're going to be dead that entire time. But you were already not existing for an infinity before you were born.
That's what I always say.
At least
you're not afraid of that.
At least 4 billion years
associated with not ever having been here for an infinite amount of time, because infinity stretches both directions.
Well, I think Jack and I talked about this after a podcast a couple months ago.
Did we?
The human brain.
Afraid of death and not
death freaks me out, man.
Yeah, but you're not aware of it.
No, I'm not saying that. The idea that life ceases to exist at some point. Whatever happens afterwards, like that's a whole other story. But it's like. The idea that, like, you have a limited number of time on this planet Earth
and it's
to accomplish everything you want to do.
No, to accomplish everything you will do.
You can attempt to do as much as you can. But, you know, like, you know, either maybe you can survive for another, you know, 40, 50,
and that's
60
why
years, or, you know, a couple weeks, and it's kind of, it's freaky.
And it's so bad that death is so final as well. Like, one person who's not even related to your life in any way can just make a mistake. Like, sneeze while they're driving and veer into you on the street.
I saw
a video on the internet
where a guy was trying to pass another guy, and he said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. So he comes back, and he clips the back wheel of the person he's trying to pass who's just driving normally, and then that person just flips off the road.
Yeah.
Like, and smashes into an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, people are always, like, obsessed with getting in a disaster while flying or an accident happening on a plane. I say, you are way worse off in your day-to-day life in a car.
Yeah.
Like, the probability of having a traumatic accident.
I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to like jinx us into having something.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious in any way.
You believe in the coincidences we've been having, though.
That's a coincidence.
Yeah. There was another one that happened just like that just yesterday. I was at the gym and they were talking about somebody else who goes to the gym and like missed her time. And like he said, and as soon as he said that, she called and said, I can't make it today at 2 p.m. And this is like at 6 in the morning. Like just after you finished talking about her. And it's like the weirdest coincidence possible.
Yeah, I always hate that when I'm deciding between two, usually with flights. It's like, I was going to get this flight, but I guess I have to change it to this flight. And then I worry about, like, what if the flight I change to is the one that's going to crash? But that's in the end, weird. you have to think about that for a minute and then just be like, oh, I'm an idiot.
No, see, like, like planes, I'm more relaxed on planes than probably driving, honestly. Like, when I step into a plane, I have this weird thing where I'm like, well... For the next 4 hours or however long I'm on this plane, I literally have no control over my outcome.
You're in the hands of Captain Cirola.
Exactly. I have no control over the fate of what happens to me between the time I step on the plane and off.
Don't have control over anything, ever, though.
But I would...
Your heart could just stop.
Okay, but I mean, I like to imagine...
You could choke.
If I'm in a car...
You have control.
Shut up.
I directly impact what I'm doing. Like, if I spin the wheel right, I'm going to go right.
Yeah.
If I'm on a plane, I just sit there.
No,
kind
you...
Of like, well...
No, you could mess up a plane if you wanted.
I don't know if you could.
Gavin can do it.
So open the door.
See, I'm like you, though.
Just roll down the window.
I go the other way, though. I'm optimistic. I think if I switch flights, this might be an arrogance thing, that the plane I was on is going to crash.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to make the 12 o'clock flight. I'll switch to the 3.
Like, those buggers are going to crash. All of them are going to crash. Or if I miss a flight, I'm convinced that's going to happen. We talked the other day about just like, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago in a podcast, how we have gone a really long time with no flights being delayed. I've been on like 3 delayed flights now since we had that conversation.
That's the average.
Oh, remember an even weirder coincidence is back when we were at the old office downtown, we were going to go to lunch one day. We were walking out the front door and we thought, oh, isn't it weird? There hasn't been a plane crash in a long time.
That's right.
An air disaster. And then we got to the restaurant and all over the news was the U.S. Airways flight that landed on the Hudson.
Oh,
wow.
And,
I was actually flying
Sully
that day.
Sullenberger.
Yeah.
I flew that day.
Oh, did you see the thing I sent you? An email.
Oh, flight. The flight radar 24.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen that before. That's
it's
really
a map
cool.
of the world that shows you every plane where it is in flight right now.
Is it mental?
It's unbelievable.
Is it free?
It's just a website.
It's a website, but I mean, no subscription or anything.
So if the Earth popped, there'd be plenty of people in the sky still.
That's an interesting point. What happened if the world like went? Why would it pop? What would it do? Like, if all the tectonic plates like turned over, like that'd be scary.
Yeah, pancake.
Yeah, and then they're like, we're all in the lava.
Speaking of,
the planes are like shit.
Whoa! You see, all the dots are like this, and then all of a sudden it's like.
One interesting thing about a plane that, it's something that's interesting to me. It's like, let's say a plane's in New York and it's flying to L.A.
Yeah.
It doesn't fly to L.A. where L.A. is when it takes off. It flies to where L.A. will be when it gets there.
It's like Steve Jobs' favorite rotating. Quote. I don't skate to where the puck is. I skate to where it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of thing. Like, well, the Earth's moving, so it has to account for that.
So I showed this GIF to Gavin, which we'll put in the link dump the other day. We were talking about the rotation of the planets around the sun like this. But that's not the actual movement of the planets.
Yeah.
The movement of the planets, because they're moving through the galaxy, it's like this. They're like,
yeah, you show me the solar system in relation to the still universe.
Yeah.
And it's just like barreling through space, and everything's like doing this. It's like, it looks like, what was that Corridor Digital video where they did the dubstep guns? And it's like, all this stuff. It's cool. It looked like that, basically.
It does look like that. It looks like those particle guns where everything's like going in a spiral around itself.
It's like a crazy corkscrew.
Do you fly faster if you're going against the rotation of the Earth?
Or
is the atmosphere going with you?
What affects you more is the jet stream.
Yeah.
So the rotation does affect you, but the jet stream affects you.
But the jet stream is specific to the U.S.
Well, wind. The jet stream is what we're used to, but upper atmospheric wind.
But you fly faster, you're flying more miles per hour because it's rotating towards you. I mean, although so like there's time zones.
Wouldn't it be quicker then?
Yeah.
Instead of flying around the Earth, wouldn't it be quicker just to like go into space and then wait and then go down?
Like, why don't you, if you want to travel...
Someone laughed in the control room.
So, Gavin, what you're saying is instead of airports, if we just had places where we went and we all just jumped really high...
You just jump and you hold on to a bungee cord that's attached to a space station.
No, we just
and
had...
you wait.
We just had space waiting rooms, right? You go up, you go stand, go back down.
Right.
Save a fortune on fuel.
It would take you 24 hours to get back to where you were. So 12 hours, you could be anywhere in the world.
Why 12 hours?
Because the Earth would rotate, dumbass.
Like what if the bit you want to get to is 23 hours away?
That's true. Oh, you mean it's behind you? Dumbass.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. How about that?
So traveling west would be easy. Traveling east would be a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah. So they'd just be, if you're going west, get on the waiting room.
Traveling east, you're allowed to take a plane still. Yeah. How about that?
Did you hear about the guy, the Red Bull guy, who's jumping from the atmosphere?
I didn't
down?
Watch that. It seems like...
No, they postponed it.
He's like jumping from the atmosphere, yes.
No. So
it's going to go 120,000 feet up.
120,000 feet. He's going to break the sound barrier.
It seems like
the
kind of thing you wouldn't want to live stream.
Yeah, that's a little... Like, the idea of a human body breaking the sound
before.
Barrier...
Like, it sounds like a really cool thing. There's an Air Force pilot who I want to say did this in the 60s.
Really?
He jumped... Like, they basically had a giant hot air balloon, and they basically put him in a spacesuit... And he took this gondola up to, I think, 120 or 150,000 feet and jumped down. He, like I said, broke the sound barrier. It took him, like, half an hour to come back down to
the ground.
The
thing where there was no air resistance at first.
Right.
And he could only tell he was falling by looking back up at the thing he jumped out of.
Wow.
The fact that it was going, like, whew, and he was like, oh, I am, because he just jumped out. And he was like, ah.
Yeah.
There's just nothing hitting it. It'd be really confusing.
That's twisted.
But we were talking about coincidences and stuff. You showed me a video of some woman filming a storm. I guess she was in a conservatory of some sort.
Yeah.
And she was like, whoa, the wind is crazy and all this rain is happening. And then she was like, look at this tree. This tree's going to start blowing really hard in a second. And lightning just strikes the tree and she shits herself. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But the coincidence, it's almost as though if there was a God, he was just like, I'll give her this one.
This is going on YouTube.
And a massive spark, fire everywhere.
You think God has like a Reddit account that he's like trying to build up karma for?
Just get that video up. It's a good video.
You know, we had a buddy who got it to the top of Reddit just the other day.
Who's that?
Aaron and Eric, they went to a place in San Antonio where they ordered a medium pizza that I think is like 60 inches in diameter.
I think theirs was 42.
Was it 42?
I think there's a 60-inch version.
They put it up next to Kayla, and it was bigger than her, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Oh. She's small.
She's It's not this way, guys. She's small. She's small. But we were talking about... there's a guy I was looking up for doing research for sleep...
Sorry, I'm going
to
mute this.
Yeah, sleep deprivation. You want to look at that? You can play it if you want to.
All right, so...
That's Florida. I can tell right now that's Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida.
You only see those screened-in porches in Florida. Yeah.
Get the sound back.
Oh, I totally muted it.
Why'd you mute it?
Well, because I didn't...
Pause it.
I was talking.
I said don't mute it.
Oh, look at that.
So. The best bit is the sound, though. It's not worth it.
What's the closest you've ever been to a lightning strike?
I was once at
a four-way...
Oh, I was closer than that.
Oh, you were?
One time I was at a stoplight at a four-way intersection, obviously. And I was stopped at a red light, and then right, like across the street from me, I turned to look to the left, and there was a tree there, and I looked at it for, and then for some reason, then there's a lightning strike right there. So I must have been 10 feet, 15 feet, wow, something like that. And it was loud as fuck. One time I was with Gavin, and there was one across the street.
Yeah, like right next to Home Slice, in between the... I want to be... I wonder if there's ever been a dude who has just stood out in a storm and just tried to punch lightning as it came down. Do you reckon that's ever happened?
I want you to be that guy, too.
It's never, ever happened.
I want you to be that guy.
If that has ever happened, what he is a fucking idiot getting wet punching at the sky. That's all that is.
He just stands out there for like an hour like, fuck you, lightning.
He look like a fool.
Have you ever seen slow motion lightning strike?
No.
It's pretty cool.
How many frames per second does that have to be?
Isn't not actually that fast. Because what happens is that lightning strikes from the earth up to the sky.
Not always.
Well, most of the time, it's just a load of like tiny little partially visible balks of lightning that are all like finding their way through the earth like this, and the first one to hit the ground then sends the lightning up, back up to the sky. But you basically see a load of like different pieces of lightning, and then the first one that hits wins.
That's badass.
And it's like,
how many frames per second do you have to record to get that?
10,000 probably to see the to see the forks.
That's amazing.
It depends how far away you are. Everything in high speed just depends on how close are you.
And lighters.
Lightning.
I guess, but lightning.
Yeah, lightning is self-providing.
You guys ever seen the what happens to the human body, that scarring that people get from getting hit by lightning?
It goes away after like a week, doesn't it?
Oh, does it? No, yeah. I don't think so. It's got a pattern. I don't know what the name is, but there's some specific pattern that it makes. It's like this cool like tree branch pattern across people's arms and
I talked about it on the podcast once.
Yeah.
But then you made fun of the way I say capillaries.
Capillaries,
right. Yes.
I've determined the word that Gavin pronounces to me that's the funniest is the way he says yogurt.
Yogurt.
I don't know why. It's a stupid word anyway, but yogurt makes me laugh.
All right. Well, we need to wrap up.
Real quick, though, because I want to do touch base on a couple things, and this is relevant. David Blaine, the illusionist slash like promotional stunt guy.
Slash douchebag.
Slash whatever. He announced what potentially his next big stunt will be, which is he wants to break the record for sleep deprivation.
You're getting that wrong. So he did an AMA on Reddit, and he's promoting some new thing. And they said the one thing they said, well, would you never do? And he said sleep deprivation.
Really?
That was the thing.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because that terrifies him, the idea of staying up.
What is he doing?
He's doing a thing where I think he's standing upright for some amount of time.
Who gives a shit about David Blaine at this point?
You know what? I really didn't give a shit about David Blaine, but he did a TED Talk. It was actually pretty fascinating. Like, you should link that in the link.
He's just too douchey and cringeworthy to look at.
But I studied sleep deprivation for a script. We were working on day five. This is why it's relevant. There's a kid in the 60s, a high school kid, who decided he was going to break the record for sleep deprivation. And he did. His name is Randy Gardner. And I'm working from memory here. He did, I think, 11 days.
Holy
with
shit.
And he was under, like, the, you know, watch of a, you know, a medical team. And he stayed awake for 11 days. And the big thing about sleep deprivation is hallucinations. Like, there were times where he thought he was a football player winning the Rose Bowl. Mm. He's like sitting there in a chair, and he's like talking to people like, yeah.
I don't think there's a way the brain. I'm sure he did sleep. He just wasn't aware he was sleeping. I'm sure the brain does like an awake sleep in an emergency if you need to.
He did like a micro sleep kind of a thing.
Or just where you like siphon off some brain power, put that to sleep, and you're just running on like just like dribbles. You're awake, but you're
not. I think they did tests for that, and that he did a press conference at the end of 11 days. He would go in and out of lucidity after a while, and he was totally lucid for that. Then he went to sleep, and I think he slept for like 18 hours. Then he was up for 8 hours. Then he went to sleep for 11 hours, and after that, totally normal.
Wow.
Like, he recovered immediately.
So he took some Ambien, and he was fine for that amount of time.
So what I'm trying to do is for day five, which is our apocalyptic thing about that we shot this at RTX. It's our apocalyptic series about people who die when they fall asleep, and everyone trying to stay awake. I want to find someone who will help me break the record for sleep deprivation.
Don't do that. That's dangerous.
Why didn't you try it?
Film it?
He was in no health danger at all, apparently.
But haven't people died doing that?
I don't know.
No, you can die from exhaustion and stuff, can't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
If you overexert yourself, but as long as you maintain like hydrated and nourished, you should be okay.
What's the longest you think you could stay awake?
The longest I've actually stayed awake, I think, is 3.5 days.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. I've done all-nighters and then gone to work. It's awful. Yeah. Time just works so much slower, and it's just
awful.
Sucks.
Yeah. But people have been asking what's going on with that, and when are we putting out day five? We're actually shooting day five starting in December. We have a new show that we're casting for right now, which we're going to be shooting at the end of this month and then through the middle of next month, and then that'll be coming out through the end of the year. Then we work on day five. We'll be shooting that, and then after we're done with day five, That's when we'll be shooting Immersion Season 2. So that should be started. We should start producing Immersion 2 in probably January or February.
Great.
So, cool. Should be fun. We got a full slate, to say the least.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
Now they're all wrapped on RVB, and RVB is finishing out its run. And I got to give a shout-out to Miles, who's one of our writers for Red vs. Blue Season 10. And he's been writing a lot of the machinima scenes that you see in the later episodes of Red vs. Blue. And they've been getting a lot of compliments on that. Miles has been kicking ass.
Yeah, Miles is awesome.
Miles is awesome. Yep.
Well, thanks for watching, everyone. I think we're about set to wrap up.
Do we get an awesome crane shot on the way out?
I don't know. It depends on
I think we get credits again this time.
Thanks for tuning in. And this will be up for audio on Wednesday, like always. And I want to thank everyone. We have a huge crew that works here behind the cameras and in the control room to get things out. And thank you so much for staying late, guys.
Yes.
And for all your hard work.
And thanks to Kara, because we didn't thank her last week for designing the set behind us.
Thanks to Adam for our audio mix as well.
Which hopefully is great this week.
My beard is not getting in the way, apparently.
Yeah. You noticed we...
Yeah, look, the beard... So the beard ends here, and the mic begins here. So I've got a good 3 or 4 inches of clearance.
Yeah, unless your posture is shit, then...
Whatever.
I don't know if I can hit it. Let's cut out. All right, so thank you so much, guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
All right, let's go.
Yay!
Bye.